We are recording.
Okay. You can come to order. Let's begin with the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is Monday, June 27th, 2022. This is a live public meeting of the Zoning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that an annual notice is published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the township website, the bulletin board at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Here.
Ms. Light?
Here.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Here.
Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Here.
Ms. Rohrbach?
Here.
Ms. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Yeager?
Here.
Full house?
Yes.
Not only a full house, but I just noticed it's the second half of the alphabet.
That's the important half. Okay.
Well, John may not think so.
John's happy to be here.
Yes.
Let me run down the agenda briefly. We have no vouchers to look at. We have two sets of meetings we will review, and then we're going to have two public meetings for Kelson's. Yeah. Hi, how are you? And then we're going to have Volturo's after that. Volturo's here? Hi, how are you, folks? Okay, that's the lineup. Anyone else have anything they want to add? Okay, starting at the top, vouchers none. Meeting minutes, the minutes of February 21st were distributed. And Denise, I sent you one word change on that one, right? Mm-hmm. Did you get any other correction?
No, I didn't get any more on that set, but I did get one thing on the other set.
Okay, and does anyone else have any other corrections to February 20th? Eligible members are Lewis, Light, McCaffrey, McTiernan, Warbeck, Stevens, and Yeager. Get a motion to approve those minutes, please.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
And a second?
Second.
Okay, and Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Ms. Light?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Ms. Rohrbach?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
The motion carried.
Great, thank you. And minutes of April 25th. I didn't have any changes. Did anyone know? Say again? I'm sorry, what's your question?
She's an alternate.
One, two, three, four, five, right, six, seven.
Right, but Mr. Pfeffer was not eligible.
Did
I call him?
You didn't call him. I think it's good. Yeah, it's good. But thanks for checking. Yeah, these things slip by if we don't check. They're good. Thanks, Sharon. For April 25th, eligible members, Lewis, Light, McCaffrey, McTiernan, Rohrbach, and Stevens. Anyone have any corrections to the minutes? If not?
There was one correction. In professionals in attendance, I had virtual attendance. It was from the prior meeting, so I heard that. Suzanne,
okay. Nothing else of substance. Okay. I could have a motion to approve those minutes, please.
I'm taking a motion to approve the minutes.
And a second.
Okay.
Okay. And Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Ms. Light?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Ms. Rohrbach?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, first public hearing, Ryan and Harley Kelson. Applicant is seeking C variance relief to construct multiple additions to existing dwelling.
I need to reduce myself.
Right. I did have that, so let the minutes reflect. Ms. Stevens is going to recuse. And you're just going to hang out here, Sharon? We'll come look for you?
Yes, so. Okay. I was hoping it
would
last.
The first office through that door to the right is open. Yep. Got a nice table, window view.
All right.
See you in a little bit.
Yep.
Watch the Clinton Township main on the show.
Yes. All right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rosalind Westlake.
I am here actually substituting for Nicole Voigt, who unfortunately called me this morning and said she had COVID. And given that we have a live meeting, it was probably not going to be a good idea for her to show up. At any rate, I'm a local attorney. I practice out of Lambertville. And
can you spell your last name?
Sure, Westlake, Westlake. And I have some experience in the field, so I think that's why she felt that she was able to contact me and pinch hit for her. With your permission, may I sit down?
Yeah, please.
Oh, thank you.
We're sympathetic in understanding that you're coming into this cold.
Thank
here.
You. all right, so obviously we're here for Ryan and Harley Kelson. They are the applicants and owners of the property in question, which is 350 Cokesbury Road, Block 11, Lot 10.01. Their property is situated in the RC, Rural Conservation Zone, and their use as a single-family residence does conform. It is an irregularly shaped lot with frontage on Cokesbury Road, and it's already improved with a one-and-a-half-story home with several accessory structures and a circular gravel driveway. The Kelsons are here this evening seeking variance approval to allow a number of square footage parts to be added to their home, functioning though as one total addition. So there will be a 458 square foot addition to the first floor, an attached 900 square foot garage with two bays, a 62 square foot front porch, and a 366 square foot deck at the back of the house. The existing outdoor shower, concrete pad at the back of the house, and the shed and the detached garage.
I don't know if you're planning to go through all the detail now, but just if I could just set up a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be useful, normally what we need to hear is, you know, what is the change that's being made?
Why are you
What's
here?
The relief?
I was just giving you some background.
You're still in the background.
I'm more than happy to cut to the chase. They are just removing those various detached buildings, and there will be a net increase of footprint of approximately 482 feet. So we're seeking a front yard setback, and we're also seeking two waivers, one with respect to identifying the specific exact location of the septic system, and also a waiver regarding the exact location of all isolated trees with more than 10 inches in diameter. We do have the site engineer, who's also a professional planner, here to testify.
Yeah, who do you have as your witnesses?
I have the applicant, Ryan Kelson.
Okay.
And I also have professional engineer and professional planner, Joseph Modzelewski.
And can you please spell your last name?
M-O-D-Z. E-L-E-W-S-K-I.
Okay, let me get both of you. Do you have any other witnesses?
No, that's it.
Let's get both of you to raise your right hands. And did both of you swear or affirm the testimony you're going to give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. And what if, do you have the spelling of the engineer and planners?
No, I do not. Completeness.
Modzelewski, Modzelewski.
W-S-A-I.
Correct?
Correct.
P-E and P-P.
Okay. We need to qualify him at some point.
Right.
Yes.
And just one question. Get the setback variances. The waivers, you mean these are exceptions? These are waivers from what requirements? These are completeness requirements, or are these?
Yeah, there are none.
There are none. Because,
okay.
Where do you get those?
I thought those were listed in Mr. Burgess's report.
I think somewhere in his report said that they should identify whether or not they know those. Hang on.
It's number
perhaps
six
on
page three of this report. I think when we get to that point, we've got to go through Mr. Behrens' report item by item. He's asking you to speak to a couple of items here.
He's asking you to address them. I didn't realize you were not going to want to address them and seek exceptions from addressing
them. No, we'll address them.
I just assumed that they were waivers, design waivers for the plan.
I don't think so. I think he's just asking, since the ordinance establishes a tree replacement requirement, so he wants to know how many to apply.
All right.
Because the notice doesn't say you don't intend to comply with the tree replacement ordinance.
No.
Okay.
We do. Okay. This was an identification issue, and I thought it was a design waiver. That's all.
Just one other thing before we start. Is there anyone here in the public that's going to ask to speak on this application? Pro, con, ask any questions? For the record, I see no one raising their hand, so they're all here for the entertainment or some other case.
Or for the next application.
Maybe the next case, yeah. Okay, the floor is yours.
Okay, well, without further ado, I'd like to ask Mr. Kelson to begin his testimony. And since he's been sworn in, Ryan, let me just ask you a couple of questions. Obviously, we know you're Ryan.
Yes.
Do you need him to spell his name for the record?
No, we got that.
Okay. How long have you lived at the property?
8 years.
Okay. And how long have you owned it?
Well, we've owned it for 6.
Okay. And are you familiar with the property and the application?
Yes.
All right. And what is the purpose of your application tonight?
We would like to be able to maintain, be able to live at the house and stay in Clinton Township and just kind of clean it up, make it look nicer, and bring it up to par with everything else in the township.
Okay. And can you very briefly describe what your plan is?
To remove the two existing sheds and the shower out back and just have it all one nice, clean structure. You know, the garage, everything could be inside, not multiple sheds.
Okay. And can you tell me how many bedrooms are currently in the house?
3.
Okay. And just by way of explanation, I believe the board all has a copy of plans from the architect.
Yes.
And it's very unclear, actually, on the plan that there are, in fact, currently 3 bedrooms.
Yes.
Because the architect was not paid to lay out the entire house. So can you just explain for the board where the bedrooms are currently?
Just a brief question. So the plans that you're asking the board to look at for this application are
on the
architectural plans revised as of October 5, 2021, correct?
Yes.
And there are 1, 2, 3, 4 sheets, correct?
Correct.
And we have in the board file a survey done by Finelli Consulting dated June 4, 2021. But what's the other plan that you have tacked up on that board?
That's actually the variance plan that shows, identifies the...
Okay. Do you know which exhibit to the application the variance plan was? I believe, is that Exhibit C? Yeah, that's Exhibit C, the variance plan. Okay, the variance plan, I just want to make sure, is last dated April 4, 2022?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, terrific. So can you just explain to the board where the bedrooms in the house are currently located?
There's currently 1 on the first floor and 2 on the second floor.
Okay, so the designation on the second floor bedrooms, they just didn't distinguish that was actually 2 bedrooms currently.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And so you're proposing to keep the number of bedrooms, is that correct?
Correct. We're going to maintain 3 bedrooms.
And how is the configuration going to be now?
All the bedroom that's downstairs will no longer be a bedroom, and we're just going to add a bedroom upstairs. So all the bedrooms are on the second floor of the house.
So you'll have a total of 3 bedrooms. And what's happening to the bedroom in the first floor?
It's going to become like a formal dining room, most likely.
Okay. All right. Is there any impact on the septic system from the construction? Is it getting anywhere nearer or changing or anything like that with respect to the septic system?
No, we are not getting any closer.
Okay.
And we're not adding bedrooms, so we're not adding usage.
Okay. And did you have a chance to talk to the architect about the actual final height of the new construction?
Yes, he said 34.6 feet.
Okay. And
34.6 feet is the height of what?
The total height of
total
the structure.
Height.
And is that that's to a portion of the addition, or is that to the a portion of the existing second floor?
No, it's the addition.
Okay. Okay. And there is a basement area currently. Can you describe your plans for the basement area?
Just for utilities and basic storage.
Okay. And is that a walk-in basement or an underground?
It's underground. Yeah.
Okay. How do you access the basement?
It will be through stairs inside.
It will be through what?
Stairs inside the house.
Okay. Is there any access from outside?
No. And we're not sure. I don't think we're going to do a Bilco on the new, but currently it's just going to be accessed from inside.
Okay. All right. And do you have any idea when the driveway configuration was built, the fact that it's a circular driveway?
No. As long as I can remember, it's always been like that.
Okay. And when you say as long as you can remember, you've been around for a while?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I've lived in Clinton Township my entire life.
Okay. All right. And you're not planning any changes to that?
No.
Okay, great. And are there any plans to remove any trees?
No, no trees will be removed.
Okay. And can you tell me, there are some recreational vehicles and trailers on the property and a camper, I believe?
Yes.
Can you tell me where the recreational vehicles will be stored?
They will be parked next to or behind the new garage, depending on how the grading is finalized.
Okay, that's yes. The recreational vehicles?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, this trailer.
The trailer.
Trailer, yes.
The enclosed trailer. And the camper?
The camper will be next to the garage.
Okay, but yeah. You also have some recreational vehicles, like an ATV?
I have ATVs and quads. They will be inside the garage.
Okay, great. So nothing outside, nothing in the front yard anymore?
No.
All of that's going to be moving inside?
Yes, everything will be in the garage.
Okay, terrific. And do you have any plans for a generator?
No.
All right. And finally, do you know where your air conditioning condenser unit will be placed?
That will be behind the house.
Okay. And nothing further of this particular witness at this time, and unless the board would like to ask any questions?
Any questions?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Then I would like to ask Joe Maluski. Okay. I'm sorry, I just butchered your name.
Just call him Joe.
Okay. I would like to have him testify, and inasmuch as he's been sworn in, I'm going to ask you to please give the board the benefit of your education and professional experience.
Okay. Yep. I got my Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering from NJIT. I've been licensed continuously in the state of New Jersey as a professional engineer and planner since 1990. Much of my career I spent with a local firm, Studer & McElhenney, who was bought out in 2007 by Hatch Mott McDonald, who is now Mott McDonald. I've worked in the field of consulting engineering for over 35 years, and currently I work part-time for Finelli Consulting Engineer and have my own consulting business, who I am the sole chief operating officer, if you will.
And you've testified in front of boards before?
Oh, yes.
Many times?
I've testified... not so much recently, but throughout my career, I've testified through many boards throughout Warren and Hunterdon County. I was
both as an engineer and a planner.
Correct.
Okay.
And I have also acted as a consultant and appointed board engineer for a number of years for the White Township Board of Adjustment as well as the Highbridge Land Use Board.
Okay. All right. I would like to present...
I'm here in my capacity as a sole proprietor of Old School Consulting and Design.
Okay.
And are you here as a planner and an engineer?
I'm here as both. I'm licensed as both.
You're licensed as a planner as well?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any questions as to his qualifications?
He's almost old and dead also. I've known him for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, he's acceptable.
Great, thank you so much. All right, so are you familiar with the site and the application and plans?
Yes, I am. I prepared the plan that's the variance plan that's up on the easel there.
Okay. And did you have an opportunity to review the township ordinance and master plan and such?
Yes, I have, and I've visited the site as well.
Okay. Can you describe the existing conditions for the board?
Yeah, right now, as you said, the existing dwelling is this small area right here. And then there's two, I'll call them outbuilding shed style buildings, which are going to be replaced by the addition. This dark area is limited to the proposed addition, including the deck
main addition, which is garage and living space, and then a small covered porch in the front. There's a circular driveway, comes in over here, circles through, and there's a gravel bus area here where currently the applicant's RV and trailer are stored. There is a large hedgerow of, I believe, arborvitaes that are here that people provide to buffer from the street. There are a number of more. The back part of the property is wooded and there's one about here. There are some wetlands and a small pond located in that wooded area. It is a sea, this is mapped as a C1 stream. There's a small water course that it's mapped as a C1 stream, but it's just, it starts here and it ends here. So I don't know what that's about. But that's on the NJDA, DEP, GIS mappings. They did have a wetlands consultant come in and apply the wetlands. They established 150 foot buffer, which will, both the existing structures improvements are within that buffer, and the proposed new addition will be located within that buffer. But it's already, it's disturbed area per se, it's already been developed, so there should not be any issue in providing that, providing the requiring anything from DEP for that addition.
So does that mean the applicant will have no problem obtaining approval from
if the DEP? If formal approval was required, he would have no. At worst, it would be a general permit.
Okay, so if the board were inclined to grant the application,
it would be a condition.
Conditions.
Yes. And get any approval that required. It's also located because of the C1 stream. The entire property is located within the riparian zone. But like I said, from here back, it is a true riparian zone because it's naturally wooded. But all this improved area, this is an open field, this is a lawn area, and the residence is here. Because it was already developed, it would be at worst permitted by rule to provide, to obtain the permission for the addition. And that's really, permit by rule is really, if you satisfy the conditions of the permit by rule, you basically just notify them that you're doing it. The septic system is located behind the house, right here. The well is right near the front. It's going to be located near the porch additions. There are no changes or improvement to the existing driveway that are proposed or required. There are some comments in the planner's letter regarding the existing driveway, and I can address, answer those comments or questions.
I'll propose that. I'll propose that. Let's go through the letter.
Just questions before you move on, sir.
Yes.
Just, I want to make sure I heard you correctly. No change to the well, no change to the septic, no change to the driveway.
Correct.
Thank you.
And when I say no change, I mean, the finished floor of the garage could be established at grade, so it's not even like you would have to change interior portions of the garage.
Okay, so then have you had the opportunity to review the report for Mr. Barrett?
Yes, I have.
Okay, terrific. And so what I'd like to do, if I may, is draw your attention to the comments. Let's start with item number 2. On page 3,
that's the driveway.
Yeah, he just notes that there are 2 curb openings and that they're slightly wider than the 30-foot anticipated openings and such.
Correct. There are existing openings. They were there when Ryan took possession of the property. The easterly one is approximately, it fails to be 32 and a half feet in width for the flares at the top pavement. And the westerly one is 32 feet in width at the edge of pavement. The ordinance requires an opening maximum size opening of 30 feet. Like I said, the applicant doesn't plan on making any changes to the driveway unless for some reason the board saw fit to impose some changes. Also, the The ordinance requires a 10-foot separation from the property line to the edge of the curb opening. No curb there, but curb opening. And right now, it does not, that the easterly curb opening does not comply with that. It will need to be pulled back approximately 8 feet to be compliant with the ordinance.
And is that shown on the plan, or are you suggesting that as a condition of approval?
What?
Pulling the curb back.
Oh, I'm not suggesting anything. I'm saying the project or the construction, the addition, does not require touching the driveway at all. But if the board were to impose that condition, it could easily address it. I believe all the aspects.
Excuse me, sir. Is that a township ordinance? You know what number that is? It's not mentioned here. And
I think it's under
112, 4B.
Yeah, chapter 112.
Okay.
In other words, this is a chapter that this board is not allowed to grant variances from. This board can only grant variances from zoning ordinances in 165.
Right.
Or grant exceptions from site plan or design requirements in section 165. Anything in 112 they have to comply with. So you have to impose it as a condition if you can go to the township committee to seek relief.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is also county road.
And
we have jurisdiction over that.
Well, no, if the county road, it would also be subject to
county planning board.
County review and approval.
Well, I realize that. So if they say as is,
we're not proposing any changes to the driveway.
I'll put it this way. When you're on a county road or a state highway, the county or the state, they have exclusive jurisdiction over whether or not the road has to be widened. But the board has jurisdiction over ingress and egress. So if it's an issue going to ingress or egress, my opinion, the board can say something about it. If it does not go to ingress and egress, then the board can't say anything about it. The board has jurisdiction over internal site circulation and ingress and egress on a county road or a state highway. Unlike a township road, the board has jurisdiction over everything.
Well, and just I think I just want to like to mention that you know, we really don't know when those improvements were made or whether or not they may have predated
that chapter. I don't know when that chapter came into
play. I think Mr. Joel's point is we can't grant relief. I think it would be our position that you've got to need her to go to the township and have them say, okay, by us if you leave it alone. Did I get that right, John? Is that the way you said it?
Now, but Mr. Yeager brings up an interesting point. Which comment? Are you talking about Mr. Barron's comment number 2 in his memo on page 3?
Correct.
Yes.
So,
well, he does say in that comment that...
Right, he says that you have an existing circular driveway with 2 curb cuts.
Yes.
He says 1204B permits 2 curb cuts with
correct
frontages of 200 feet or more.
Correct.
What's the frontage here?
Oh, it's well over 4 feet.
Okay.
2.4 plus 1.8 is, you know, 4 feet.
Section 112.7A permits a maximum driveway width of 16 feet. So the question is, do the existing conditions comply with the ordinance or not?
Well, the problem is the ordinance does not define, at least for a residential property, what a driveway as opposed to a parking area is. And right now, the gravel area in front of the house is wider than 16 feet, yes. But who's to say they use it for parking or not?
Did you read his next sentence here?
Well, there's a second paragraph.
There. Right, which is relevant. Section 156-115 allows zoning board of adjustment to vary or modify requirements and design standards of Chapter 112 for good cause after considering the township engineer's comments as related to such variance and modification, which would suggest we have the power to say, okay.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm assuming it's supposed to be 165, not 156.
Probably.
I'm going to check.
115.
There is no chapter 156.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
It's 165, 115.
That's impervious coverage standards compared to farmland.
Yeah. I do not think that the Board of Adjustment, that's impervious coverage. Driveways is 116.
No, 112.
No.
Oh, yeah, 165.
165, 116. So it's a double typo. Instead of 156, 115, it's 165, 116. And that says all driveways servicing residential, commercial, industrial, or any other driveway use in the township shall conform to the provisions in 112. But this, so this is incorporating by reference 112, and this gives the Board of Adjustment and the Planning Board power to vary or modify, as Tom said in his memo. So we haven't had one of these. But Tom, other than the typos, Tom's right.
He looks correct. Yeah.
So if the board finds out, find out about what kind of, if they've had any issues with it, they're increasing, they're reconfiguring things, but they're not adding bedrooms, they presumably aren't expecting any additional traffic. So if the thing has worked, the board could find, it's up to you, not me, good cause.
And John, what kind of relief would this be? It's not a variance, it's a design waiver?
Listen, go with the language in the ordinance.
You'll figure it out later?
Modification.
Okay.
I'd just like to mention that a large portion of the addition is extending over the existing portion of the driveway slash parking area. So it's already becoming smaller by virtue of the addition, which helps in that the project will nominally increase existing impervious coverage. Even though the addition is large, they're only adding approximately 480 square feet of new impervious coverage.
Can I just ask, does anyone on the board feel compelled to ask the applicant to modify the driveway from the way it currently operates to meet these standards? I see everyone shaking their head no. Does anyone feel any no? So I think the board would say we find good cause here to let it ride.
Great.
Don't mess with the driveway. Right, did I get that right? Everyone agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. That's very kind. All right, well, moving on from number two. I think the next item that would be appropriate for comment would be item number five, the environmental constraints.
Yeah, and I think
give a note.
I briefly went over that.
Let me go back for 1 second.
Sure.
If the board is going to modify, assuming for argument's sake that the board is going to grant the application, does the board want to impose a condition for Hunter and County review and approval? If you're going to modify the thing, right? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, environmental constraints are, like I already mentioned, are related to the wetland transition area and the repairing zone. And, if they even need any sort of formal application or approval, which I don't think they do, I think it's all by permit by rule.
But it
would be subject to any outside
approval. If you don't know, it's going to be subject to NJDEP either approval or a letter of no interest from them. But you're going to have to contact them.
Absolutely. But I mean, if we show in their requirements that it's permit by rule, we would just get them to issue a confirmation letter.
Right.
Just for information.
The condition's going to require something in writing
from that. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Next item. I think we already established that we're not removing any trees. So item
and
number.
If that's what the applicant says, if there's an approval, there's going to be a condition.
No tree removal.
No tree removal.
Right.
There's no tree over 6 inches, though. There are, I think, two small ornamental shrubs.
Oh, he said no tree removal at all, so now what you're saying is...
Well, they're ornamental shrubs.
It's a shrub.
That are right up against the house. They're landscape shrubs.
Yeah.
So how many of those are going to be removed?
Two.
Yeah, two.
And you're saying that they're less than 6 inches
correct.
In diameter.
Yes.
So they don't have to be, they're not subject to the tree replacement.
Correct.
So... No tree removal other than the two ornamental shrubs.
Correct.
Okay. Next, on the landscaping and stormwater management comment, can you provide us an overview?
Yeah, there's no formal landscaping proposed up to the plan. And with respect to stormwater, the ordinance requires... with a project such as this,
storing in an infiltration BMP 3 inches of rain off of any new impervious area. So, although it's not shown on this plan, I think for them to get a building permit, they're going to have to give a grading plan to a stormwater plan to the submitted to the municipality for approval by a municipal engineer. And what that really boils down to, on the 480 plus square feet with 3 inches of rain, it comes out to about 120 cubic feet of water that needs to be addressed, which is very nominal. It's about 900 gallons. So it would take one seepage pit.
Right, but you should be aware there's an ordinance provision that the seepage pit can't be in a setback. They have an ordinance here which says even underground facility, so it's...
Well, it's going to, it would be behind the dwelling. It would have to be at least 50 feet from the septic area. So,
if you can testify that...
I can testify that it won't be located within the side or front yard setback or rear yard setback.
Right, so can you testify it won't be located within...
In any setback, correct.
Because you're right, if there's an approval, there'll be a condition that grading plan and stormwater management have to be reviewed and approved by the township engineer. And if there's a seepage pit, they have to comply with all setbacks if you haven't sought a variance.
We can make that work.
Okay.
What's, in your opinion, what's the difference, if any, between a seepage pit and a dry well?
They're the same thing.
Okay, so basically, as was initially stated, we're seeking a bulk variance for a front yard setback. And there was a question in the report basically asking to describe the sort of the various non-conforming setbacks.
Yes.
Could you just go through that?
Sure.
Right now, the closest setback would be to the southeasterly corner of the existing structure, and that setback is 49.0 feet. The setback to the addition, which is 63.0 feet, closest corner to the front, the weather line. And then the setback, it's not indicated on the plan, but the setback to the corner of the porch,
I believe is 52 feet. So none of the additions will be any closer or any more non-conforming and setback than the existing structure.
Question, the 52 feet is to the new extension to the porch?
Yes. Yeah. And it's really, you know, when the porch hits the other corner of the house, that's really the closest point. So if there was normally when you're doing setback, you show the closest setback. But when they ask the question in this planner's report, so it's 29 here, but 52 here. So that's the closest point
where the addition meets the existing house.
Okay, so if there's an approval, there will be a condition saying that the addition can't be any closer than 63.0 feet to the front property line or to the road right-of-way?
To the road right-of-way line.
To the road right-of-way.
Yeah.
And that the addition to the front porch can't be any closer to the road right-of-way than 52.0 feet. Correct?
Correct.
Question. Is that to the far corner of the new addition? How about where it butts up to the old porch? Is that 52?
That's not there. That's where it butts up to the old.
That's the 63.
No, the 63 is to the, I'll call it the garage, the big garage addition.
Right.
But where this front porch, where the front, I don't know, enclosed porch is here right now. And that's where the closest setback is.
Can you just take that plan and bring it up and show the board?
Is that... That is the same plan we have on...
Yeah, it's the same plan, but it doesn't have the 52...
Well, this is not on this either.
I understand. So I'm going to ask you...
We have to show where it is.
You can draw it in, okay, and then mark it as Exhibit A1 in the lower right-hand corner with today's date.
Is that the most southerly corner?
It is... It's the... Where the porch addition gets the most westerly...
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm working.
In the market, and then just take the board and slowly go down by all the board members.
Okay.
This would be a little bit further.
This one's 52.
52.
And this one is more.
More, because it's that.
That's what my question. Yeah, I understand.
Regular meets the house.
Okay.
We're good.
No. You want me to mark this?
Yes.
Okay, A1.
A1?
Lower right-hand corner. A1 was today's date. And then at the end, you can unclip it from the board and fold it up and give it to Denise.
Page 27.
Yes. Yeah. So A1, Denise, is the variance plan marked up to show the 52 feet.
Okay. So now we've got to the fun part of your testimony. We need some planning testimony.
There's something else over here that they're demolishing.
Yeah.
In general, I like them up.
You ready for him to go into the planning testimony to support the variances?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Any more questions on design?
Does the board ever give applicant a little leeway on...
Yes. Occasionally, the applicant requests it.
On the dimensions?
Yes. In other words, what she's saying is, if they're testifying 63 and 52, what if they come in at, you know, half 6 inches closer by accident?
Well, particularly since the existing house is already at 49, as I understand.
Right. So occasionally, if an applicant says, look, I'm not exactly sure, but if the applicant's engineer is positive, ask him. How comfortable are you with the 63 feet and the 52 feet dimensions you gave the board?
Well, I'm comfortable to within, let's say, a couple inches. I mean, this is scaling off a plan. And
okay. I mean, sure.
We're always open to a little leeway.
Yeah. I mean,
but you notice, if you give more than they ask, they're going to take it. And they still might be a couple inches off. So
I don't think,
be careful on how you word it.
Based on how the design looks, I don't think that they want more because it makes it collinear with existing walls.
I'm just saying, answer your question, yes, they have done a couple applications in the past where circumstances warranted it. But when you do that, just be careful what you say and how you do it.
I'm trying to remember, in 20 years, I don't remember a case where someone's come back and said, I was off by 3 inches, and the construction official wouldn't approve it because you said 50 feet, and it was 49.8. I don't remember.
No, you got a couple where they've been off by a couple feet. A
couple feet's a different question. Right. But a couple inches, we've never had one come back in 20 years.
But we have had maybe two where, because of some particularity where they weren't sure of where a property line was or whatever, the board has given a little leeway. But we're not hearing that here.
Okay.
Yeah. And we had the one case where they had the house flipped left to right.
Right.
The only qualification I'll say is that the road right-of-way per the survey is based on the tax map, which is a 33-foot wide right-of-way. So that's what establishes where our setback is from. So if for some reason...
I'm not sure. Say that again?
Yeah, I don't
know. The road right-of-way is 33 feet.
And our setbacks are from the property line.
Well, the property line is in the middle of the road, more or less.
Right, but our setback is in the middle of the road in
no,
that case, isn't it?
No, right away.
Is it?
Okay. So I'm just qualifying that it's based on the 33-foot wide right away.
Hopefully you won't be off by more than a couple inches.
Shouldn't be.
Yes. Okay, so can you just describe for us the hardship that the applicant is experiencing?
The exact relief you need is what? You're going to be building an addition that's going to encroach into the front yard setback,
correct? Yes.
What's the front yard setback requirement in the zone?
Well, the base requirement is 180 feet. There is a stipulation in the ordinance for pre-existing non-conforming lots that for the size of this lot, it can be reduced to 100 feet.
Right, but to do that, that's under Section 91 in the ordinance?
I don't know what section that is, yeah.
But you have to comply with everything in that chart, right? To get that. Put it this way. It doesn't really matter what the requirement is.
Right. We need
relief from
it, right? Exactly. Whether it's 180 or it's 100.
Right. So let's assume it's 180 from the schedule in the back of the zoning board.
Okay.
You need relief from that.
Correct.
And I assume your argument is we have an existing house.
Correct.
That's already 49 feet from the right.
Correct.
We're going to improve the conditions by demolishing two, let's say, accessory
sheds. Right, yeah.
Okay? And making a larger house that's not going to increase the number of bedrooms.
Correct.
But because the house currently is 49 feet from the right of way, There's no way
to make it conform.
No. Correct. Even if you put them to the back of the house, correct?
Correct.
Therefore, you say it's a classic C1 hardship, right?
Correct.
That's his testimony.
In a nutshell.
Yes.
So why don't you very, very briefly summarize what he said so that it's actually coming out of your mouth and it's actually testimony.
Well,
do you agree with everything I said?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Yes.
Is anyone?
What is the actual reason why you're removing? It looks like four or five different structures.
Well, there's actually two structures that are being removed because that's where they're in the footprint of the addition.
Sure, but for the other ones, there's former shed, another former shed, another former shed. It looks like a former.
No, there's the chicken coops and stuff that are in the back.
That are all marked as former. Are those?
No, frame, I think.
Oh, TDRs to be removed for those two structures. Okay, I'm good.
I don't have any questions or comments or problems with this proposal.
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm looking at the site plan. Are there adjoining?
You mean the variance plan?
Are there any adjoining buildings on other lots? Are they any closer? Or do they need 100 foot setback?
Well, there are actually. There's three on three adjoining lots. This one.
Give me the block.
Okay. Yeah.
On block 11, lot 9.
Go one by one. On block 11, lot 9, there's an existing dwelling which
existing
is approximately how many feet off the right of way?
I don't have it dimensioned on there, but I can scale it for you.
But it appears to be slightly closer than the
it could be.
Why don't you scale it?
Weird. The two houses are lined up as if they imagined the road would be in a different place than it was.
And maybe it wasn't one point.
Yeah, they were wondering if the road was oriented differently.
Well, sure. And they were built by the same family. Ah. Same family built both houses, too, so.
Okay, so I'm going to say that's still about 45 to 46 feet.
And what about across the street?
Across the street.
Do you happen to know the line block that I want across the street?
Yes. It is.
In your key map.
I am. Lot 12, lot 24.
And there's an existing dwelling there that appears
there's
to
be. There's an existing dwelling there as well. And that scales approximately 62 feet.
And I'm sorry, what did you say the house next door on the right? How far is that from you?
About 46 feet.
Oh.
And just keep in mind that these locations of these dwellings were taken off an aerial photograph. So.
But they're less than 100.
Oh, yeah.
But absolutely less than 100. There's also another dwelling, it's not shown on here, but down the road. And then as you get down to the Hamlet Coast Ferry property, there are probably at least a dozen or more houses that are probably closer to the road than any of these. Any of the older structures in the area there.
So would you say this house is not unduly closer to the property than the nearby properties?
Correct.
Thank you.
And very briefly, can you just tell the board how the variance can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good or will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan?
Well, correct. It will not. It's a permitted principal permitted use in the zone. The use is not intensifying. The use of a dwelling is based on its bedrooms. So there's a nominal for an addition of this size. It's resulting in a very small amount of additional impervious coverage.
Put it this way. So the variance is for front yard setback, right?
Correct.
So after the additions, the front yard setback from the additions, the front yard setback is less than the neighbor to one side and the neighbor
correct.
Across the street, correct?
Yeah, yes.
So there will be no substantial detriment to the public
no.
in terms of the neighborhood.
No, and it'll look like it fits in with the neighborhood.
That's his testimony on that.
Well, I have nothing further at this point. I could sum up if the board feels it's necessary.
Yep.
All right.
Might want to waive your summation.
Happy
okay.
to do so.
Do you have any comments or questions?
No.
I don't know if does anyone feel a need to deliberate, or we want to just go straight to a motion on this?
So there's two pieces of relief. You get the C1 front yard variance, and you have that.
The driveway thing.
Yeah, that ordinance 165-116, where you're going to modify the requirement in section 112 for good cause.
Good cause. And conditions.
Anything we mentioned in the standard conditions.
Right, which we shall review. But conditions, I had no removal of trees over 6 inches, a couple small.
No, I have no removal of trees other than the two shrubs.
Right.
Period.
Oh, right. Six inches or otherwise.
I just had to look. Our ordinance says that if it's less than 20 feet at maturity, it's not a tree. So the shrubs are not trees.
Okay. Requirement to submit a stormwater management plan.
And a grading plan.
And grading plan.
And if there's a seepage pit or dry well required, they should comply with all setback requirements. Good. All vehicles and equipment shall be located inside and rear yards only, and any and all such storage shall be. I didn't finish the sentence. Shall be.
What was the
screened.
Point?
Screened. That's from Ordinance Section 165-107.
Okay. DEP approval or a letter of no interest.
And the setbacks no closer than 63 feet for the addition and 52 feet for the addition of the porch.
And our standard conditions are a year from approval to pull building permits and a year from permits to get the CO.
But
you okay with that?
You might want to ask for more time if you think you need more time so you don't have to come back for an extension. So do you have any idea, if let's say the board granted this tonight and the resolution wasn't adopted for like 60 days or something, I guess you did the first draft for me, but do you have a timetable for when you start to construct and how long you're going to do it yourself?
I'm going to do a lot of it myself, yeah. So I'm going to start as soon as possible, but I don't know if I could complete within that year for CO.
Did you give him 2 years?
I
should be able to
two.
Do two.
2 years, you're okay with the condition?
I give him two and two. If he didn't do it himself, give him 2 years to pull the construction permit and then 2 years after the permit to get the CO.
Okay.
That's what you want, right?
Yeah, that should be.
Okay. I think that's it. Anyone else have anything else? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So 7, all good. So we have a motion to grant relief as described.
So moved.
And a second?
I'm sorry, who was second?
Suzanne? And Denise, would you call the roll, please?
Dr. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. McCaffrey?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Pfeffer?
Yes.
Ms. Rohrbach?
Yes.
And Mr. Yeager?
Yes.
We'll take 5 minutes.
Yeah, quick break.
I'll go get here. All right, so we're going to go into recess. 7:55 and 8 o'clock we'll start again.
I'm good to
all right, we are back on the record. We're on to second hearing, Joseph and Marianne Valtura. Let me just read this. Applicant is seeking a D1 and C variance relief, as well as relief from NJSA 40:44D-35, requiring building lots to abut approved streets to accommodate the development of a new, I should say, single-family dwelling associated and associated improvements at the above referenced undeveloped lot.
Good evening,
Thatcher, how are you?
Good. How are you? Nice to see everybody. I have two witnesses, Mr. Valtura and Wayne Ingram.
And just for the record, we know that you're Mr. Thatcher.
Thank you. Jay Thatcher, representing the applicant. I'm a lawyer in Clinton.
Okay.
With your permission, if I can have sworn in.
Let's get both of the witnesses sworn in. Both of you raise your right hands.
You're
not standing up. Leave your right hand. As long as you can see me. That's right. Do both of you swear or affirm that the testimony you're going to give during this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
And then for the record, can you identify yourself?
Joseph Valtura.
You're one of the applicants?
Yes, sir.
And?
Wayne Ingram, applicants, engineer, and planner.
Okay.
Thank you. You and your wife, Mary Ann, are the applicants. Is that correct?
It's Mary Jane.
Mary Jane, I'm sorry. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And Tom's memo was wrong right off the get-go. It says Mary Ann. Should be Mary Jane?
I think the application says Mary Ann also. Oh, no, it's also Mary Jane.
Okay. All right. The property that you own is 1148 Stanton Lebanon Road.
Yes.
And that is block 16.01, lot 34.01, correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, this is vacant land?
Yes.
And it's wooded?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
you got to respond verbally.
Okay.
Yes. Correct?
Yes.
There's a microphone here, so it's got to pick you up for the record, okay?
Got it.
Thank you. Now, when you're facing your property from the, I'll call it the road,
mm-hmm.
there's a home to the left and there's a home to the right.
Yes.
Okay. Now, your property is approximately 4.32 acres?
Yes.
Okay. Now, pursuant to the deed that we've given to the board, this property was purchased on November 25, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in your own words, what was your intent with respect to purchasing this property?
Well, we were going to build a house there. We were going to scale down because the kids were gone. We had an empty nest, and so we figured we'd just scale down a bit and build a new house there.
So that was your initial intent?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I must assume that prior to the purchase of this property that you inquired as to the feasibility of building?
Yes.
Okay. What did you receive? What did you get? What did you do in furtherance of your due diligence?
Well, we had a letter from zoning saying that it was a buildable lot. And and he said that you shouldn't come in for a zoning clearance until you're ready to build, because it expires, I believe he said, in 30 days. So he said you wouldn't have to want to come and pay for a permit and then have to come back and get another one down the road. So.
Was the zoning, this zoning approval you're talking about, is that issued to you or the prior owner of Chippendale?
The prior owner.
And did he make you aware that zoning permit had been rescinded?
No.
Okay. Did you become aware that it had been rescinded?
Just a couple months ago.
Okay.
But the way it was rescinded,
All right, I don't want to interrupt, but it was okay. You were making it sound like you went and got the zoning approval, but it was the prior owner, your seller, got the zoning approval.
Right, he had the letter, and I called zoning to see if it was still valid. He said no.
So who is he when he called zoning?
I'm sorry?
When he called zoning, you're saying he said that it was still valid.
No, he said it was, when you called zoning, he told you it was not valid. Correct?
No, he said it was valid.
He's asking who's he?
I don't remember the name. It was like 5 years ago.
Oh.
But whoever was the zoning officer. But he said there's been no changes. It's a grandfathered lot. And he said it's a buildable lot.
Is it before you purchased the zoning office you told me this?
Yes.
So just so there can't be any confusion, Joe, we put in our application the zoning permit, which was issued to Stanton Mountain Group LLC, which is Chippendale.
What's the date on that zoning permit?
It's 4/22/14.
Okay. Did you also put in there the rescission?
I have a copy of the rescission if you'd like to see it.
Yeah. What's the date on the rescission?
There is no date on the rescission. And just to be clear on this, when I went to look at the file in Denise's office, this came out. And basically, it's the same zoning permit, but across it says revoked/hold.
Okay, so let's mark this. Let's get the zoning permit that was issued April 22, 2014. Let's get that entered into evidence as Exhibit A1.
That was part of my application.
Okay.
Do you still want to mark it?
You know what? Normally I don't, but in this case I do.
Okay.
You have an extra one?
Well, I have one here. I will give it to you.
I didn't know we were going to be going down this road. I thought we were just going to get the variance. So if we're going down this road, I want to back the eyes and cross the T's.
Okay.
And when did you purchase the property, Mr. Volcano?
It was about 5 years ago.
Okay. For the record, it was November 15th, 2015.
7 years.
And here is...
permit, we're going to mark as Exhibit A1, 627-2022. And the zoning permit, Denise, do you recognize, you know what?
This is in the box account. We have this.
Yeah, we do have this.
Let me just get you some more. Can you swear that or affirm the testimony that you may give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do, yeah.
Okay. So this zoning permit that I've marked as A1, I know it's in the box account. This was the form of zoning permit that was used in the township in 2014?
It appears to be, yes.
Okay. Is this the form of zoning permit that, since you've become zoning officer, you use?
The only thing that's different is we don't have the address of the subject property at the top of that.
Okay. Now, I'm going to show you what I'm going to mark as Exhibit A2. With today's date on it. And Mr. Thatcher says that when you went in to look at the file, or you did an OPA request?
No, I went in to look at the file, and Denise said, look at this. Gave it to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know whose handwriting the revoked hold is? Do you recognize it?
I do not, but I'm thinking that it was the zoning officer who was Joseph Rossi at the time. But I can't confirm that, because he's no longer employed by the township.
So the zoning permit issued on April 22, 2014, which is Exhibit A1, that's absolutely signed by Joseph Rossi, because that's his signature and that's his name on it, correct?
Yes.
And this zoning permit, which has the same date on it, April 22, 2014, but a different form, also has his name and his signature, and it says revoked hold. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
John, is there a date on the revocation that you can see?
Same date as no. April 22 in the upper right-hand corner, but I don't know if it happened that day or not.
No idea.
No. So we don't know. This is what was in the file.
So it's not clear from this whether it was revoked the same week or years later. Is that true?
Well, put it this way.
My assumption is, because it's on a different form, but it's got the same date. Now, it's an application date, but date issued is April 22.
Does it have the same,
same
numbers? I believe.
Yes, it's got the same numbers. So
yeah.
My assumption looking at these is he issued one in the morning, talked to somebody told him something, and that he rescinded, revoked it later that day. That's my assumption.
Can you walk us through the process by which a zoning permit gets revoked? Like, is there a notification involved? What goes into that?
Denise, have you had occasion to revoke a zoning permit?
I have not, but I, former zoning officer, did. And the few times that it did happen, it was sometimes discovered by the construction code official, because when the zoning permit is issued, regardless of whether or not construction permits are required for whatever the permit is requested for, a copy goes to the construction department. There were some turnover with zoning officers, so the construction code official, prior construction code official, often look at these and sometimes notice a mistake and then say, hey, wait a minute, I think you might want to look at this again. This should not have been issued.
I'm not going to testify, but I can tell you that that's been brought to my attention, not this particular one, but on a couple occasions, that's exactly what would happen.
Is there a notification requirement in statute or anything like that?
Yes.
But Chippendale would have been notified.
Correct.
Not Mr. Volterra.
I wasn't notified. I'm in the room if you want to talk to me. I'll be happy to testify.
Well, we should probably get him sworn in also then. Mm-hmm. Do you want to get him sworn in now and hear him now, or do you want to wait till later?
There's a legal question.
Do you want to get him sworn in now or wait till
later? I don't know, Mr. Thatcher, do you want to continue on with your case? Are you going to rely on this permit?
Yeah, are you going to rely on the permit in the case or not?
Well, to a certain extent, yes, because I want the board to understand how it came into my client's possession and the fact that he never saw this revoked document, whether it was revoked that day, the following week, or 2 years later. He never saw it until...
Can I push back and say, you're here for various variances, right?
Correct.
And will this go to the proof, either to the positive or the negative criteria?
Well, I believe it goes to the background of what happened.
That's not the question, though.
But you're not asking us to honor this zoning permit. You're asking us to treat this as new and consider it as a variance?
I'm asking you to consider it as part of your decision as to the fact that my client would not have been in this situation had he not received this document. And
he'd be going for a hardship?
But if your client received it from the zoning officer, maybe, and I'm not saying it's a valid argument, I still don't think it is, but maybe at least you have some equitable argument against the township. But if your client received it from the prior owner, how does that have anything to do with positive or negative criterion?
What he's going to testify to is that he got this permit, the copy of the permit, relied on it, and immediately prior to closing, he called the zoning officer and asked whether it was still valid and got the advice from the zoning officer, and based on that... It is what it is.
That's not one of the positive criteria for a variance. So unless you're asking us to rely on this as an actual active zoning permit, how can you explain to us how it's relevant?
Yeah, I'm looking for seeking legal advice here, but we base our decisions on positive and negative criteria. If this doesn't go to one of those, I think we move on. Am I wrong on
this?
It's not like we issued a construction permit, Mr. Thatcher.
Hold on.
If you had been issued a construction permit, started construction, and expended money, now there's case law saying that that can't be revoked because there was reliance. But I'm not aware of any case that says if you've been issued a zoning permit, and forget about the fact that it was a verbal e-check, even if you had a written check with a zoning officer, I'm not aware of any case which talks about any reliance on a zoning permit absent a construction permit for the commencement of construction.
Okay.
I say we move on.
All right.
And so when you say you move on, I assume the board is saying that this is irrelevant to its consideration of the variance. Is that correct?
That would be my take, that it doesn't contribute to the positive criteria or to a hardship.
What do you tell people on that?
Does anyone see it differently or want to hear? No? I see. No? Anyone feel differently? Okay. I think the board's unanimous on this.
Mr. Kipper, though, I don't think we need you on this issue.
When,
Well, listen, you're going to have your chance after, yeah.
When you purchased the property, were you aware that Stanton Lebanon Road was not a public road?
No.
Were you aware that you would need a variance in order to build on this property because it wasn't a public road when you purchased it?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. And even though the board feels it's irrelevant...
Were you represented by an attorney on the purchase?
Yes.
Who represented you?
Michael Ostrowski, his name was.
Okay. Now, when you purchased this property, the property was subject to an easement to your neighbor, Mr. Chippendale, correct?
Right.
Okay. And could you please explain that easement to the board?
Well, he had a patio and a fence and a swimming pool, and he wanted to keep it. And, you know, I tried to be neighborly, and he asked me to have an easement so he can keep his structures there, not structures, but the fence, the swimming pool, and the patio, and I agreed and told him I would do it as long as, you know, everything was on the up and up, and he assured me it was, and I had no reason to doubt it.
All right. So, and that easement represents a very, very small portion of the property that you own, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. And point in fact, you purchased the property subject to that easement, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to show you a John, can we mark this as A3?
Yeah.
Do you want me to mark it?
Yes.
I'm going to mark it on the back.
You know what you do? Can you mark it on the front so we're able to make a copy?
Let me try here.
And I assume at some point that Mr. Ingram is going to show sheet 3 of 8
yes.
of the plan and show the easement area. Do you have extras of that?
I do. Can I pass them out to the board?
This is A3 for the file.
Oh, okay.
Can Mr. Cash make sure I get one, please?
Right.
So A3 is a photo. Who took the photo?
I did.
Okay, when did you take the photo?
Probably this
spring. Okay. Just so we can be clear what we're looking at and why we're looking at it, this is relevant to the D variance that you're asking for?
No, this is relevant to the C variance. Oh, this is relevant to the D variance. And the C variance.
Sure. I'm more concerned with the D variance at the moment just because it's a more major hurdle to clear. But this is related to the D variance. You're saying this is the non-permitted use that you want to continue on the property?
Well, this is the easement.
I understand that, but regarding the variance that you're asking us for.
This is a picture of where the easement is located.
Okay, and you're asking us for a D1 variance to allow the continuing, to allow this to exist on this new, on the property with its new use?
That's what we are told, yes. And could you briefly describe this, Mr. Valturo?
Yeah, it's a retaining wall with a patio on the upper side of the photo, and a grass in here. I believe there was a swimming pool here at one point that may have been filled in. That's pretty much it.
Okay, now we've provided with the application what we described as an access and retaining wall easement agreement that's dated September 12, 2015. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay, and you took the property subject to that easement?
Yes.
And you were well aware of the easement, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, did you have any knowledge as to the background of the easement or the legality of the structures?
No.
Now, it's not your intention to utilize any portion of this easement area going forward?
No.
Now, at some point in time, did you contact Mr. Ingram to start the building permit process?
Yes.
And what happened?
At that time, he told me we needed a variance for road growth front, not growth front, but because it wasn't a public road.
You needed a fully improved street, correct? You needed a planning variance under the MLUL because the property didn't front on a fully improved street. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
That's correct.
I wasn't aware of that because there's maybe five houses on the street. This is the last lot in between the middle of them. So.
All right. So when Mr. Ingram advised you of what we commonly refer to as a Section 35 variance, we started on the process of making an application.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And was at that time that we got information regarding the structures on your property?
Yes.
Okay. And were you told that they were done without permits?
No.
So you were not aware of that?
No, I was not.
Okay. I think when you and I discussed this, the quote you said to me was, when you heard this, it was, quote, this is news to me, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then at that point in time, did you approach your neighbor to try and make this application a little easier and get him involved?
Yes. Yeah, I asked him if he would join in on the variance and so we could eliminate this problem. And he said he would consider it, and then after he would consider it if I paid for his fees for the variance. And then he got back to us and said that on the advice of his attorney, he was advised to not get involved and leave it alone.
So he chose not to participate?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Satcher, if I can just, I'm trying to get a sense of where you're going. I know you're recounting a lot of history on the purchase, the property, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see, and maybe other board members see it more clearly than I do. Is this going to build arguments as to why we ought to grant C or D variances because you're going to claim hardship or benefits versus detriments? My take is that there's a lot of stuff here that's sort of interesting story for over beers, but I'm not sure what it has to do with the question on the table.
With your permission, I'm going to call Wayne Ingram now.
Great.
And Matt will get started on that. You got enough background here to understand.
I got the background. I'm not sure if it has any bearing on the question that was being asked.
On the table, so everyone in the room understands, this is my understanding of the relief that is required. Besides the Section 35 variance, because the property itself doesn't front on a fully improved street, the reason that the board planning expert and myself are of the opinion that a D1 use variance is required is because the improvements that are on Mr. Voltero's property in an easement area are accessory to the neighbor.
Correct.
They're not accessory to Mr. Voltero's. Therefore, on Mr. Voltero's property, they are principal structures. They are not accessory structures.
So that would be a variance to principal uses?
Two principal uses, D1 variance.
That's two so far. Right. Keep going, John.
Well, I want to get to say the improved.
Two principal uses is a variance.
Right. Two principal uses. You can't have two principal uses in a residential
zone. We don't allow two principal buildings in a residential zone. We allow two principal uses.
No, you don't allow two principal uses.
Are you sure?
In certain zones, you allow agriculture and home. You don't allow accessory structures as a principal use. Where in the ordinance do you see it? If you do, tell me. This is the RC zone. What zone is this?
RC.
RC zone.
That's a structure.
Your neighbor's accessory structures are not allowed on the property. On
your property. I'm not disagreeing that it's
permitted use. Because they're not accessory uses. They're principal uses. So show me in the ordinance where two principal uses are allowed in the residential zone, other than certain zones allow farmhouse and farming. That's two principal uses. I can think of one other zone which allows two principal uses, but I don't want to throw the money towards, but I want to see what you're
I'm not aware of anything that says either that you can have only one or more than one.
Okay, the definition of principal use.
That's a good point.
Okay, it's not in the definition section. There's case law on it also. But
principal use is the primary or predominant use of the premises.
Right. Now, where are you reading that from?
165.4.
Right. Predominant. Fair. Singular, okay. Not plural.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so up to two requests for relief so far.
Right.
Keep going, please.
Now, there are improvements, structures, that are located in the side yard setback. That's a C variance.
Correct.
The reason that we had asked Mr. Volterra to try to get the neighbor property because the neighbor also has structures located in his setback without permits. And quite frankly, the zoning officer, after this case is resolved one way or the other, because we were hoping that you'd apply with Mr. Volterra, and quite frankly, we were hoping, at least the professionals, that the board granted both applications. But since you didn't join it, the zoning office is probably going to be sending you a letter telling them that you have structures in violation, and now you're probably going to have to file an application like he did, which is going to cost you more than if you join, but that's a separate issue. You have structures that are not permitted, they have no approvals for them, and they're in the setback.
Well, that's prescriptive easement. The
easement has nothing to do with the board. The easement is private property rights. When you get up to talk, you can talk. I'm just putting it out there that's why he asked you to get involved in the application.
We're not
recognizing you right now. You get recognized after they go. You're not recognized to speak yet.
Oh, thank you.
I don't want you surprised later.
Okay, just keep going. It's good to have an inventory of the relief that we'll be looking at, because then we're positioned to judge whether the evidence or the testimony talks to the relief we're seeking.
So, the Section 35...
We've got three so far.
Yeah. Now, looking at Tom's memo, I think Tom made a mistake. His item 3, I don't think they need a C variance for maximum depth of measurement. And if anyone wants to know, I'm going to ask Mr. McCaffrey to explain it. It's very complicated, and I don't think he needs relief. You think he needs relief?
I do, only in the fact that the depth of measurement is supposed to be taken from the public road. So therefore, if you don't have a public road to measure from,
Okay, put it this way. If the board felt that you... That
if you didn't think you needed it, it's fine. I just want to be fair and say
we appreciate it.
Can I just explain what maximum depth of measurement is?
Yes.
So in this case, a lot must have 30,000 square feet. But in order to...
Stop for a second. Explain.
I'm going to get to that. I'm just going to get to the setup.
In the RC zone, the lot has to have a lot more than 30,000 square feet.
Right. But this is just an illustrative point. Let me just give you an example. Okay. But in order to come up with 30,000 feet, the ordinance is designed not to have narrow, long lots. You can't have 30,000 feet by 10 feet wide by 3,000 feet deep, and that's not going to fly. So the way they prevent them against that is say you have to come up with, in this example, 30,000 feet by measuring no deeper than maximum lot depth of measurement, which is 240 feet. So you have to come up with 30,000 feet, in my example, by measuring back no further than 240 feet. It's got nothing to do with building setback or anything like that. It's how do we determine the size of the lot in question?
Now, to further complicate things a little, Tom's memo also made another error. So there's a schedule of zoning requirements in the back of the zoning ordinance. And that's incorporated by reference by ordinance section 165-86. If you look there, you see it's in the RC zone. You see it's a one-family dwelling. It's on a conventional lot. And you would look and you'd say, oh my gosh, the minimum lot area is 392,000 square feet, and the maximum depth of measurement is 1,200 feet. But he has a lot that they're hoping would fit within ordinance section 165-91. Now, this board has had this come up in the past, and it's a common misconception, and unfortunately, the board planning expert fell into this common misconception, and I had a discussion with him this afternoon, and he agrees, oops, he made a mistake. Ordinance section 165-91 says if you have an existing lot, any vacant lot, this is a vacant lot, correct?
Yes.
As recorded at the time of passage of this chapter. So when was this lot created? I'm asking Mr. Thatcher.
Don't know.
1970s. My guess.
That's a guess. But if you want it to fit within ordinance section 165-91, you have to know when the existing lot of record was created. Let's assume for argument's sake that this was an existing lot of record. If you have an existing lot of record in an unsewered area, then instead of needing a minimum lot area of 392,000 square feet, you'd only need a minimum lot area of 30,000 square feet. That's where Tom came up with the 30,000 square feet from. Further, there are reduced requirements for existing lots of record. If you meet all those reduced requirements, then you can build a house without needing a variance. Now, they would still need the Section 35 variance. But if they met all these requirements, they would not need any other variance. The problem were not for the improvements in from the neighbor on his property. He qualified for Section 91, which would mean he'd be here tonight seeking one variance. What's the variance? The Section 35 variance.
Correct.
Now, the Section 35 variance, unlike your typical C1 variance, where you have to prove the positive criterion and the negative criterion, the Section 35 variance, Section 36 of the NLUL, tells you exactly what the issues are. It's easier to get this sort of variance than a hardship variance. What the statute says is, Section 36 allows the board to grant a variance from Section 35. Section 35 says you can't be issued a permit for the construction of a building unless the lot on which the building is constructed abuts an official and fully improved street. So let's forget about these improvements on his property, which the zoning officer, quite frankly, would have no idea were there, right? If he gave him a plan and it didn't show him, the zoning officer wouldn't know. The zoning officer, I mean, if the zoning officer is even half qualified as a zoning officer, would know that the statute, forget the ordinance, the state statute, they have to take this test, and it's on the test, says that if you don't abut a fully improved street, you're not allowed to issue a building permit. So he shouldn't have issued a zoning permit. And when he did, he then rescinded the zoning permit. But that's past history. What does the statute say? Okay, would the refusal to issue the permit entail practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship? Well, if he can't get a building permit, how much did you pay for the lot? Finances are not a hardship, okay? But when you look at this lot, would have no use. If you can't get a building permit for this lot is zoned into inutility. Okay, that's called a taking, okay? Now, but then the statute says, the board has to ask, do the circumstances of the case require the building or structure to be related to a street? And then it goes on to say, this is what you have to ask yourself. Is there adequate access for firefighting equipment, ambulances, and other emergency vehicles necessary for the protection of health and safety? So the issue that Mr. Ingram should be talking about as to the Section 35 variance is, what kind of access are they going to have there? This street is not fully improved. Are there other houses served by it? Can police vehicles, ambulances, and can fire trucks run over? If the answer is yes, then basically the statute says you should grant it. Now, like I said, if it weren't for the fact that these improvements are located on his property, that's what the application would have been tonight. This, you see the other application before you?
Yes.
How many minutes did that take?
About 15.
That's what you would have been dealing with. The complicating factor here is there is a legal document, an easement, which allows his neighbor to have those structures on his property. But as I've told the board in the past, easements are between private property owners. That's between the two of them. Okay? This board cannot grant a variance from an easement. This board is not prohibited from granting a variance because of an easement. The easement to the board is irrelevant. That's between the two of them as neighbors. Mm-hmm. What this board is focused on is, okay, what's on his property? Whether it's legal or illegal, what's on the property? Mm-hmm. Well, you have these improvements on his property that are not his, unfortunately for him. Quite frankly, it doesn't matter that he didn't know about it, because they're there.
Right.
And if they're not an accessory, if they're not accessory structures to his principal, proposed principal use of the property for a residential dwelling, they're a second principal use being used by his neighbor. So that's why he needs, in our opinion, the D1 use variance. To allow that, you guys would have to grant the D1 use variance. If you don't grant that, he cannot put his house there. Now, or you could grant that on the condition that those improvements have to be removed. That's his problem. The neighbor's going to say, hey, don't touch those improvements, I got an easement. Don't go to court. Not your problem if you stay out of that mess.
Right.
The other issue is that the improvements happen to be all on the side yard setback. Right? You only said you're... The ordinance says there's a separate section in the ordinance, section 165-97. Accessory building and structures. Except as otherwise provided, buildings and structures which are accessory to a principal use or building shall be subject to the following regulations. Side yard setback. If your lot's less than an acre, 10 feet. If your lot's between 1 and 3 acres, 20 feet. If your lot's greater than 3 acres, 30 feet. What's the lot size here, Mr. Anglin?
4.3 acres.
So there's a 30-foot side yard setback if they were accessory structures. They're not. Okay? They're principal structures. What's the setback for a principal structure? Well, he doesn't get the advantage of Section 91. Mm-hmm. Okay, because Section 91 is not an alternate ordinance. Section 91 says if you satisfy this, you can build a house, no variances. If you don't comply with it, you don't need a variance from it. You need a variance from the back. If it's a principal structure, what is the setback? The side yard setback, unfortunately, is 100 feet. So it doesn't really matter which one set the other case. It doesn't matter if you're going off the schedule or if you're going off Section 91. Those structures in his yard need a setback variance. Quite frankly, that's why I was flagging to the neighbor, because those structures are also in your side yard. You're in the RC zone. And I don't know which one applies to you, but they go over the line. So again, whatever it is, whether it's 30 feet, whether it's 100 feet, you're going to need, unless they were created before the ordinance was adopted, which, I mean, we have to bring in proof about that, but you'll talk about that, then you'd be grandfathered. But if they're not grandfathered, that's why I have a feeling the zoning office is going to be sending you a letter. Anyone who has any questions, there'll be a time to ask. Right now, the applicant's putting on their case. I'm interrupting them, but I'm interrupting them just to try to focus Mr. Ingram. So those are the three variances. Section 35, which is, quite frankly, is a no-brainer variance, but that's an editorial comment. I don't speak on behalf of the board. The D1 use variance, which is complicated in this case, and the C setback variance.
John, can I ask you another question?
Yeah.
So if you're saying we don't, I mean, again, I'm kind of just finding this out now because the letter is incorrect in the first place.
Correct.
Which, you know, puts us quite at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Well, but you could always ask for a continuance.
Well, I mean, that's a little unfair as well because they came here tonight and with the preparation.
Keep on going.
We will, and okay. we may discontinue, but at this point. But my question is, if you're saying he doesn't comply with that reduced relief, does that create the same larger setbacks for the principal structure? that he proposes to build.
Yeah,
so that's additional relief that's not envisioned here, because you're saying the house that's proposed in the lot wouldn't get the reduction.
That's right.
It would need 100-foot side yards, which is literally impossible.
That's right. Now, again, it's academic, because if the relief is not granted, the lot is owned in the utility. So for the dwelling is the easiest part here. Okay?
I get that, but if you were to deny a D variance, then he would comply with the relief for an existing lot? Because, again, if structures are built without permits, how can they be considered legal?
They don't have to be legal.
Well, to require him to not get the reduced relief as a pre-existing lot.
We're talking about this purely as a trigger for whether or not it's a vacant lot?
Yeah.
It's not a vacant
lot.
It has principal use on it.
It has principal structures on it.
I find it interesting how, again, take a scenario where your neighbor builds something over the property, puts a shed on your property by accident.
You ready for this? Right, but that one is easy to waive. How is it easy? Because the board imposes the condition. You got to remove it. It gets removed.
It's the same condition, because in either event, you're left with suing your neighbor to remove the structure. In either event.
Okay.
Right?
Right, but he has a little harder time removing the structure because it's an easement in place.
Page, I was looking this
way. It's just a fact of life. If there was no easement, this would be much easier, because the board, quite frankly, they probably, I guess, I can't speak for them, they granted with the condition, remove the stuff, and then let the neighbor deal with the setback violation.
But I guess my point is what I want to understand is, if the structures were removed, would it therefore be an existing lot of record that would get the lesser requirement?
Oh, yeah.
Am I still asking for that relief?
No. Okay. If the structures were removed off his lot, he's got an existing lot of record. All he needs is a Section 35.
Right.
15 minutes.
John, so we have a maybe disagreement on how to read 165.91. 165.91 has A and B. A is vacant lots. B is lots with dwellings on it.
Right, no dwelling on it.
I read A as implying at least that vacant lots are lots that don't have dwellings on them, not lots that have other things on them. It's an A or B sort of thing. I don't think that the intent of the council would have been to create this like donut hole where if there's stuff on the lot but it's not a dwelling, that it doesn't fall into either.
If you guys want to issue an interpretation like that, you're entitled to do it. That, to me,
that just doesn't make sense to me, that you would have created something where you have to come and get a variance on lots that happen to have like any little.
What I say, start with a definition. Look up, see if they have a definition of vacant lot.
That I checked. There isn't.
Okay. There isn't.
I'm looking at
the definition. Do we have the book with us? Moskowitz book with us?
No.
There's a definition in the Moskowitz book of a vacant lot. I look at it, I forget what it is.
Shit.
You know what?
You wouldn't comply.
You might as well get it.
Right. No, that really jives with me.
Denise is going to keep on recording, but she's going to get the Moskowitz book. Just in case they want to keep on going.
You have somebody you can call, do you?
Hold on for a second. No, no one in my office tonight, and I got the Moskowitz book. Hold on, let me call Tom Behrens. Call Behrens Tom Mobile.
Calling Tom Behrens.
It's the least he can do. Oh, we turned off the phone. Hit Sneakers. Let me see if I can. Call Sneakers Ed Mobile.
Did you mean Stu Schneck?
No. I don't have Sneakers. Between you, I know Moskowitz. Okay, he goes to my synagogue.
I think you knew him.
So, I'm not calling myself.
Okay.
I spoke with him a couple of weeks ago online. Okay. Very nice guy.
You looking for Barron's number?
Barron's, his phone is off. Okay, hold on.
No.
I don't want to reveal my source. Hold on. I'm sorry to bother you, but I know you don't have a meeting tonight because right? I know. So, listen, you don't by any chance have the Moskowitz book in your house, do you? Beautiful, can you? Yeah. OK.
Okay, so do me a favor. Look up, go online and look up the planning dictionary. The APA puts out the planning dictionary. Let's go to the, see if they have a definition of vacant. Vacant lot. Vacant lot. The issue is, does vacant lot mean a lot without a dwelling on it, or does vacant lot mean a lot with no structures on it? I have a very smart board member who asks very inquisitive and very challenging questions, and he's asked this question. The ordinance in question, this is in Clinton Township, says any vacant lot. I'll talk to you about that tomorrow. Come on, you got to stay still. Well, you know what? Okay, so while it's booting, you know the reason he went there. Because his associate got hired away. He's hired away the associate season. Mine got hired away. His got hired away. Yeah, the other one. So Katie got hired away from me, went to the firm in Bergen County because their associate got hired away from another one. And Steve's associate got hired away by Rob Simon's office. So there's the associates are, and they're all going to applicants' firms that get paid a lot more an hour than working for people who do municipal work. So we can't even compete. We can't pay the associates what the other firms pay. Mike, everyone's listening to this. We got. Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Yeah.
What do you have for dinner? Yeah, it's all over there.
I have it here.
You have the definition?
I'm going to go to the men's room real quick. Be right back.
Speaking loud. You want to take a 5 minute? Yeah,
I'm just
going to
say, should we
do it? Or if you have it, or you make time.
He's looking it up right now.
Is Wayne, you going to have it?
I'm working on it. It's a little harder on the phone.
This is the APA Planner's Dictionary.
Yeah, let's take five. It's 8:48. We'll be back in 5 minutes. It's 9:54. And one thing I neglected, well, back on the record, I
8:54.
I neglected to mention that Dr. Lewis recused herself from this application and has not been here the entire time.
I thought of that one. We were on the break.
Yes. Okay, so we are back on the record. And Jenny wants to make a comment.
So, a very interesting question. The applicant, engineer, said to me, look, he understands the thing says the vacant lot. If the improvements were removed, they're there now, but if they were removed, would it become a vacant lot? In my opinion, yes.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
So, if the improvements were removed, it becomes a vacant lot. If it's a vacant lot, in my opinion, they meet all the requirements of 91A.
Agreed.
The only thing they need is that Section 35 variance.
Agreed. That sounds right. Sounds right.
Yes. Yep. So, I mean, one of the options the board has is you don't have to grant or deny exactly what the applicant applies for or needs. The board could say, listen, we would grant a Section 35 variance because it's a no-brainer, basically, to grant it, but it's going to be subject to a condition that all those things have to be removed before you get a zoning permit or a construction permit. And then let them deal with it. Maybe the neighbor will end up coming in seeking approval of something. Maybe there'll be some accommodation where some of the stuff will get removed, but the easement's not your issue. That's one way of getting right down to this guy wants to build a house. He needs Section 35 relief, and if those improvements weren't there, all these other complicated issues would disappear.
It's a good point. The applicant has not yet asked us to vote on or deliberate that question. They may ask us to do that in a minute, but they've not asked us that so far.
What's your pleasure, Mr. Thatcher? To be here the rest of the evening, and maybe they grant all the other, those three variances, maybe they don't.
So isn't that a better question to ask once we, I mean, I'm not saying I don't have an hour's worth of testimony here. I mean, I'll put it out there. If the board wants to vote separately, I think that makes sense no matter what. But might as well present them with all of the options and then let them split. I mean, if you know, we agree, we have no objection to a split in the decisions, but I'd rather put all the testimony on the before we do it.
If you do want to do that, would you be willing to present the D variance alone first so that we could at least talk about the more complex variance before we start talking about
the... Can I do the easy one first so we can just get it out of the way?
Because I don't know that we're necessarily going to be inclined to give all the different relief necessary just in turn.
What he's saying
is
if you start with a D1, you might get an indication by a straw poll if they're yay or nay on it, and then that might shorten the evening up and let you make a decision on whether you want to get a formal vote on it or not. But if you go for the easy one first and you wait till the last one till the end, you might not even finish tonight.
I mean, it's your case to present.
It's your case to present.
Right. We're not looking to waste anybody's time, so I can do that.
Yeah, the public gets the opportunity after each witness testifies. They get to ask questions of the witness, and then when the applicant's done with their whole case, the public gets to get sworn in and testify. And actually, that's a good point. Do you have any other testimony for Mr. Volterra?
No, I don't.
So now would be the appropriate time before we start with Mr. Ingram to have any questions that anyone has for Mr. Volterra only based on his testimony.
First,
no testimonies in the court.
Right. First, are there any board members that would like to ask any questions of Mr. Volterra? Okay. Okay. So is there anyone in the public that would like to ask questions, not testify, not offer opinions, ask questions of the witness that just testified, Mr. Volterra? If you do, come on up. If you want to cross-examine him, this is the time. Grab a microphone, state your name and address.
Do we have a microphone? If not, I'm going to give you a chair and I'll give you this table.
Yeah, just say
if you sit here, it'll pick you up. So I'm not going to swear you in at this point because you're only asking questions.
Okay. You have questions for Mr. Volterra?
Okay. A couple quick questions because I know we had a lot of...
Excuse me, sir. Did you state your name and address for the record?
David Chippendale, 1146 Stanton, Lebanon Road.
Thank you.
Lebanon, Jersey.
Great. Thank you.
Remember, Joe, when you first found out I had the lot for sale, I know you told me that you looked at it. You explained to me as you testified that you and your wife were thinking about downsizing,
right,
and were looking to build a fairly small house. I said I had a zoning application signed by the township for a 30-by-60 house. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And you said that's going to be fit about right with what your requirement was going to be for your personal residence?
No, it was about 3,200 square feet, I think, was the number.
It was a 30-by-60, so I guess that's
18.
Yeah, times two floors. So as we got more seriously, we wanted to really move forward with the lot, I kind of explained to you that I had certain things I needed to have done to my lot and needed access to the back of my house. And I showed you a proposed plan that I submitted with zoning as far as moving a property line over 85 feet from my westerly border line to move it over 80-some feet to get beyond that.
Mr. Chippendale, if I could.
You're making this a question.
Yeah.
Are you cross-examining him on the testimony that he's already offered? I'm trying to steer you clear of...
You weren't aware of any variance required. You testified to that.
Yes.
But I have 100 emails that we went back and forth about property line change versus variance and what's going to be required.
Well, you said a lot line adjustment we could do.
I have several emails, many emails about variance versus property line change. The problem, if you recall, I'm asking
you. Do you acknowledge that there was an email exchange between you on
Do you recall why we didn't do a property line change initially, what we wanted to do?
No.
You remember that the lot, it's grandfathered status lot, because
yes,
it's not 9 acres that the zoning calls for, it's only 4.3, and the zoning officer, you remember him telling us, and emailed the all three of us, that you can't do a property line change because you lose a grandfathered status. You don't remember that?
Yes, no, we do.
You do, okay. And so basically, you were familiar with what the requirements were, and you were going to be aware that a variance was going to be required.
Not exactly, you know, because you had told me you had just wanted to leave those things on the property without giving an easement to do that. There would be no problem with that.
Yeah, the easiest way, and I'm not sure how well it worked out with the zoning, but I thought we both thought this would be the easiest, a straight line, move over, just go over this way, and I keep all mine, and you do with this what you want on this lot. Do you remember this lot? Do you remember this diagram that we shared when we first started talking?
7 years ago.
Yeah, I know. It was a long time ago. So,
well, let me ask this. Would you be willing to...
Okay, so you said something about, I recall you said I wasn't willing to do a variance or a property line change or variance?
No. I had said that when we had a conversation that you did not want to join the variance. It was, we actually joined the variance because we could both get relief at the same time and it would be easier. And you said, well, I have to get the advice of my attorney. He said, but I'll only join the variance if you pay all the fees. But then he got back to us and said, you have to confer with my attorney. He advised me not to get involved with you. Leave it alone. You have an easement. Leave it alone.
I recall me paying $3,000 in escrow to go toward the variance, and you were going to put $3,000 in escrow. Do you remember doing that?
Yes, we did.
So?
But was that for a variance or a lot line adjustment?
Whatever was going to be required afterwards, after we did the... an easement. It turned out I don't recall, but the zoning officer kept saying we needed a easement to keep this. I share all emails with you.
Mr. Chippendale, if I could just sort of ask, where we headed? Do you have questions about his testimony? You think they're inaccurate? If you want to make some argument later, but.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I think I proved my point that he was aware of the required variances and issues with property lines and that grandfather status would be lost. That's where the whole issue is on the whole property.
Duly noted. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Thatcher, back to you. We're done with Mr. Voltaire, right? No one else has any questions? No one from the public has any questions?
If I may redirect for just one moment.
If you redirect, he's going to be subject to recross.
All right, let's bag it then. I want to call Mr. Ingram. Is there any need to go over his credentials?
Well, for the record, you should put it. I think you should ask to get qualified. It's up to you.
Okay.
My name is Wayne Ingram. I'm a licensed engineer and planner in the state of New Jersey. I've been practicing for 18 years. I've been licensed as an engineer for 14 and licensed as a planner for about 10. I've appeared before over 75 municipalities in both of those capacities, including the Board of Adjustment.
Right. We've seen you, Mr. Ingram, at least five times in the last 5 years, I would say. So, anyone have any qualifications, questions about his qualifications? Okay. You're approved.
Thank you.
Wayne, with your approval, I'm going to direct you to the report that we received from Tom Behrens. You have a copy of that?
Yes.
Okay. And why don't you just direct, rather than me ask you a lot of questions and take a lot of time, you know, he's listed the areas where he wants comment from you, and if you would start on that, please.
If you want him to do that, or do you want him to do what he's going to do for the D1 variance?
Let's do the D1 variance first.
So as you've heard, the D variance we're seeking is to have two uses on the property, residential uses, the one we're proposing with a new home for the applicant, and to allow what would have been otherwise accessory uses of the wall and patio from the neighbor to remain on the property. I think in terms of particular suitability of the site, part of it is that these improvements have existed, and they have existed for probably over about 40 years on the site. If they were otherwise asked to be moved and removed from the site, the owner of the adjacent property would likely then have to construct his outdoor facilities on his own property. And in terms of purposes of zoning, I would think that allowing them to remain and have the two uses would support purpose J, which is promoting the conservation of open space and natural resources. And that is due by virtue of the fact that if these were removed in an area that had already been disturbed and utilized, any improvements on his own lot would therefore require removal of extensive trees, landscaping, and other natural resource features. So in essence, you could say that allowing these uses to remain in their location provides the neighbor the outdoor, you know, activity and use that most people enjoy of their single family properties, without the need for further disturbance or degradation of the environment. Which also, again, you know, to see that on this application, we obviously have nobody affected other than the property owner who has already granted the easement and of which you're seeing their improvements. There would be no negative impacts on any of the surrounding properties to continue to view what has already existed on the lot for many years. It's obviously not impinging on the neighbor or the applicant's ability to develop and utilize his own property. I think what you heard was about possibly moving lot lines prior to their closing, which, as you heard, would alleviate them, or excuse me, would remove the ability to call this an existing lot subject to those lesser requirements. That would be a reason why they would not propose to do a subdivision, because if they do, they then are subject to all of these increased zoning standards, whereas these minor encroachments do not cause any detriments to the surrounding properties. What would have been a more major encroachment was the pool that occupied that area, which has since been removed. So essentially,
can I ask you something now? If they went for a lot line adjustment, wouldn't you be arguing that it's better planning to go for the lot line adjustment to eliminate the D1 variance and then argue hardship? Because you actually...
Well, I think the difficulty with that is you're assuming that you have a cooperative neighbor who would, at this point in time, engage you in the ability to subdivide. So it is a bit of a hardship. If you can't get the neighbor to go along with you in a subdivision and you can't compel them to remove the improvements without significant court action, what is the detriment to allowing this? All a subdivision does is create an imaginary lot line on the property that won't change what you see when you visit the property. The only person it affects is the two property owners who have already agreed to the easement that they're provided. Would we propose this in a blank slate scenario? Absolutely not. I don't think allowing those to remain creates any substantial detriment to the neighbors or the intention purpose of the zone plan. The easement was created with setbacks in mind, you know, as if it was a, you know, an accessory structure. You know, obviously they go over the property line, so in essence it's C variance setbacks of it no matter what we do. I think just in terms of what purposes we can say this furthers, you know, obviously this is not a scenario you often come up with purposes of zoning for where you have such an encroachment, but that purpose, I believe, of, you know, avoiding further disturbance and detriment to the environment is about as close as we can get within, you know, within those confines.
Hypothetically, if the neighbor said, as long as he didn't have to pay anything, and Mr. Volterra flipped the bill, if the neighbor consented to a lot line adjustment application, would Mr. Volterra consent to a lot line adjustment application, the line would be adjusted so that there are no improvements on Mr. Volterra's property? Do you need time to answer
that's
that?
Not, that's not for me to answer for the applicant.
You want to answer it now, or you want to wait till later to answer the hypothetical?
I'd certainly have to talk to Mr. Volterra about it.
Well, you ponder that. Can I ask you a couple questions, Mr. Ingram? I'm looking at purpose J here. Promote the conservation of historic sites. This is not a historic site, right?
No.
Okay. This isn't a designated open space. Is that correct?
It is not a, no.
Okay. Energy resources or valuable natural resources?
Natural resources, yes. Trees, woodlands, vegetated areas.
Is it the assumption here that I'm saving trees, because if I moved it from the improvements from one place to another, that the original spot wouldn't regrow or I wouldn't have new trees there?
Well, he wouldn't be obligated necessarily to do so. I mean, right now, surrounding the improvements is a maintained lawn. It would take decades for trees of the substantial size and the remainders of the property to regrow. And if he constructed these same improvements on his lot, which, again, in essence has to be in woodlands because that's all there is on these properties,
mm-hmm.
the significant number of trees would be removed that are substantial size and maturity.
So the argument is we save trees. Is that sort of the crux of the argument here? We save trees. That's why
I mean, the township has a very, you know, extensive tree removal and replacement ordinance, so mm-hmm. therefore I believe it's a valuable, you know, obviously was considered to be a valuable consideration in development plans.
Okay. Other than saving trees, what are the other key bullets of your...
Again, if you look at the purposes of zoning, you're not going to find something as unique as this as something that nicely and neatly fits within the confines of many purposes.
Right, that's why I'm asking you what your rationale is other than saving the trees.
I could say it's another purpose of zoning, you know, about, you know, materials that would otherwise be landfilled and recyclable, and minimizing recyclable, recycling, improving and recycling and minimizing things that are landfilled. If we end up removing otherwise... good features that are utilized between the properties and serve the purpose of outdoor space, we're needlessly landfilling materials that have been put together for use of the outdoors. You could say that purpose as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and anything I tell you, I'm going to be attempting to fit it into a very narrow confines because this kind of thing was not what was envisioned when the purpose of zoning were created. So all I can do is try to fit it in with the categories that
no, right. And that was the question I asked. Thank you. Right. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to add before we fire some
not
questions
at you? D-variance, no.
Okay. Does anyone want to ask any questions of Mr. Ingram? And then maybe we can do a little deliberation, take the board's temperature on D-variance before we press on.
There's one question. Yeah. What is the, I can't see from the documents that we have, is there any steep slope or anything like that? Is it fairly flat?
Yes, I was going to get into all those letters. That was part of your planner's comments, and I was going to touch on that later. But, yes, we have significant steep slopes. We do not require relief from the steep slope requirements, the majority of which are located in the rear of the site. Some disturbance is related to the septic system, but it is within the 15% limitation of township ordinance. It would further exacerbate our problem if we subdivided the property because we'd be losing area that did not have steep slopes, which would probably push us over into yet another variance if we remove that land.
Any other questions?
On the adjoining lot 39, you have some topography shown as being a steeper area behind the existing house. How steep was that? I'd say within 50 to 100 foot behind that existing house.
I mean, the slopes in some of these areas are probably as steep as 2 to 1.
2 to 1.
Yeah, I mean, it varies. The most level spots are directly behind the home and the spot around the driveway.
Okay, but nothing to the rear of the house.
I don't know to the, which is this actually to the west.
Kind of.
I don't actually know. Kind of. Because that's beyond the limit of what we normally survey. So, it's but directly behind the home, yes, so there's
basically a minus.
So right,
I think what they're wanting you to do.
Directly behind home, I would say varies between 3 to 1 and
he's not going to pay for it.
8 to 10 to 1, something like that. It varies. It's very level and then it drops.
I get it.
So is that Jim? And they also did the other property. Is the place where the easement is now one of the only few level spots?
And it was actually created by leveling the yard. That's why there's the retaining wall. So it probably had steeper slopes years and years ago. It was leveled for the placement of the pool. And after the pool was removed, all you have left are the stone retaining walls, which have effectively leveled that area.
Okay, so we'd have to, we might end up disturbing more of the slopes.
Correct. If you want to move the outdoor space on his own property, it would involve steep slope disturbance, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone from the audience have questions? We're not asking if you want to testify. Do you have questions for Mr. Ingram?
Yes.
Come on up, and we're not asking you to testify. We're asking you whether you have questions for Mr. Ingram. Yeah, we're not asking you to testify right now. You'll have an opportunity later.
My name is Roy Nuzzo.
Can you spell your last name?
N-U-Z-Z-O.
And your address?
1150 Stanwood Mount Road. I'm the next neighbor.
Okay. Go ahead with your questions for Mr. Ingram.
Mr. Ingram. You were estimating the actual slopes there. Did you ever actually look at them? Or are you getting it from pictures?
I'm looking at it based upon surveyed topography.
Are you aware that... Here, I got a drawing here, just so we can sit on. This is...
Are you aware of that? Are we doing good with that?
I'm sorry, are you aware of that? I have to show Mark what he's aware of. Pass this on to you.
No, just give him a copy and ask him...
This is the zone between our two properties. But it put an oval on it. And I took this off an actual a document of my property, put it to him, and we used Photoshop to get him exactly lined up the way they should be if they had one-on-one page.
So we have the question, is, are you aware of that what?
That within this oval, there are... Most of that grade is 60 degrees.
I have surveyed topography of what there is. Yes, there are steep slopes. Some in
are
some
you aware
of that,
that
area.
Most of it is 45 degrees or more?
I don't agree.
Well, let me answer.
Are you saying specifically within this oval?
Within that oval.
Actually, can we?
Pass it around so people can see where I'm going.
We have steep slopes all shown on this plan. There are sections of steep slope along the property line in various
areas. Wait, he wants to know, within the oval, would you concede that the slopes are...
Very steep, but hard to even get down.
But you said 45?
They vary. When you go close to the road, as you were calling it, toward the back, which is going from north to south, along that line, it starts off with about a gentle slope of about 15
degrees. Without testifying, you say, are you aware that the slopes within the oval are
mostly above 40 degrees, as high as 60 degrees? Okay.
That's what he wants to know.
I'm not aware of that because I don't necessarily agree. There are sections that are. There are various steep slopes of different grades.
Are you aware of that a company had to bring in very large boulders to stop the erosion because that was actually falling down and progressing?
No, I'm not aware.
Okay. Are you aware that the cost for doing that was many thousands of dollars?
I am not aware.
Right. Are you aware of the fact that those trees, and at least 30 of them that you got planned to be removed, are the only thing holding that back?
That's why you prepare a grading plan which will stabilize the slopes.
Should a grading plan be accurate?
Yes, the grading plan should be accurate.
Right. Are there any photographs taken tangential to the line of the inclination?
No.
No. Have you ever allowed for the path of water that comes copiously down that grade when snow melts?
You have existing drainage which comes to your property now, and the conclusion of a development like this would be a drainage plan that would include stormwater
you,
damage. Which would
are you aware that several thousand...
You've
got to
let him finish.
I thought he finished.
No, he didn't finish. You want to finish anything?
Just that when this is a conceptual home, and whatever the final grading plan is, which would be presented to the township, there would be a drywall system and other mitigated measures, which would be approved by the County Soil Conservation District, and the township has to
address
the drainage.
Does a drywall prevent the loss of soil upstream of the drywall?
It reduces the water flow, which in essence helps with the erosion.
You actually believe that?
I do.
Okay, are you aware that most of the trees upstream have most of the roots showing from the soil loss that has already occurred?
I have no doubt there could be erosion currently on the
could
property.
Be. No, I'm asking, are you aware that it does exist?
I don't specifically recall looking at the tree roots.
Are you aware of how many truckloads of soil were brought in at my expense to replenish the losses that have occurred?
No, I did not evaluate how you developed your own property. It is not the subject.
Are you aware that many of those trees that you're going to take down are beech trees that are considered an endangered species?
Mr. Nozzo, if I can just kind of... You've asked a lot of questions along the singular line. Is there a punchline?
Well, the punchline is they're going to take down, just along the line over 30 trees. And those are the only thing holding back that you're talking about, not simply a nice piece of property. I'm talking about what could be a natural disaster.
That's not his testimony, though.
That's what I'm saying. I can't make the proper words come out of a person's mouth. I didn't even care.
Hold on, stop.
but this land.
Hold it. He's going to testify to this when he gets his chance to testify.
Right, now it's not that time.
The questions he's asking, though, he's trying to get some things in the record about things that Mr. Ingram doesn't know about, which he's going to tell the board about, to then be able to argue to the board. So my feeling is that he hasn't gone so far astray, he should let him ask some more questions.
But John, the question, the testimony so far has been about the D variance. That's the topic we're on here. We haven't gotten to engineering or site planning yet. I would argue we ought to, if there's questions about the use variance, let's have at it. We'll have another discussion around water and drainage and the size of the footprint, all that later. I don't think we've heard Mr. Ingram's testimony on that point yet.
What we asked the applicant and the applicant agreed was to focus on the D1 use variance only at this point.
And not be disingenuous.
No, I'm not going to do that. You wait till you testify. So if you have questions about the testimony that he gave about the D1 variance, that's what you should be asking right now. That's what the chairman is
saying. Okay, my question. Have any notifications gone out to the jurisdictions that are required to be notified that have to do with the effects on the animal effects that are very large in the area?
Stop for a second.
Stop.
The D1 variance is to have two principal uses on the property. All these questions that I see that are legitimate to ask him is when he testifies about the actual engineering of the project, if they get there. Right now, this is D1 variance. Do you have any questions about his testimony? What he's testified to is that the board should grant the D1 variance to allow this to remain as a principal use on the property, because if they don't, and Mr. Chippendale has to remove it, and he still wants to install it on his property, he's going to be doing a whole bunch of site demolition that he wouldn't otherwise have to do, and he's going to be cutting down trees on his property to reinstall the improvements. That's what his testimony is. I don't know if the board's going to, you know, agree with that or not, but do you have any questions about that?
No.
Okay.
Thank you, and we'll give you another opportunity to ask questions about the engineering when we get to that topic. I don't know when that will be.
So, I have a quick question for Wayne.
About the D variance. About the D variant, not about drainage.
Let's hear what the question is going to be about first. You got to identify yourself for the record and be recorded.
I'm sorry, Dave Chippendale, 1148 Stanton, Lebanon Road. During this brief period that Wayne's been talking, there's been a lot of talk about basically steep slopes and how my lot was leveled off. So I just wanted to make sure. I just want one simple question. Are you aware that lot, the entire lot, is in this steep slope protection area and is labeled as severely constrained? Constrained the entire lot.
Which lot?
The lot that is the four homes, yes.
I don't know that as a particular restriction to the lot, no.
Okay. So you don't know it?
You know.
I don't even know.
Yeah. We're not saying it does not have steep slopes. We have calculated the steep slopes. There are significant steep slopes. And we attempted to avoid as much as we will.
Okay. Do we have other questions, or do you want to take a straw poll on the D? Any questions? No more questions. Okay. Does anybody want to weigh in? You're okay with us weighing in at this point, right? Let me get the temperature where we're headed.
There's a straw poll on the D1 variance.
Non-binding.
Are we just voting, or are we voting?
No.
Are we straw polling, or are we voting?
Let's have some discussion. I think we have a little discussion here.
Right.
Do you have anything? What's that? Sorry, it's not.
I'll go right in the middle. Sorry, yeah. I'll be honest.
You could resist.
No, I mean, I was very skeptical going into this, having read it about the D1 variant, but and not because of the purposes of the zoning, which I agree with you. There's probably like five or six that you kind of fit sort of into, or like one of those like penumbra and emanations sort of things. It's, you know, you everything from like open space to a desirable visual environment and cutting down trees and moving things around doesn't necessarily promote that. So my real hang up is purely on that this property in particular is like particularly suitable for this use. And something about what you were testifying reminded me of a previous case we had maybe a year or two ago, which was the Racewell case, where we said that the neighboring properties was particularly suitable for a purpose because it was neighboring a property that already had a use going on. And from that sort of logic, this fits into that to me as well, which is, you know, the
that there is nowhere else in the township that other than on his own property, where a neighbor's property, various accessories would fit better than on your neighboring property.
And can I restate this for you and tell me if I have this right? What you're basically saying is you believe the property is particularly suited because the improvements have been there for 40 years and there really hasn't been a problem with them, and forcing them to be relocated is worse than allowing them to remain. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that that's how I think it fits into the zoning.
The particular suitability.
I think the particular suitability is because it's a neighboring property.
Okay. And I don't understand. Explain. I don't understand what you're saying.
First of all, David, you're in favor?
I am.
Okay. I understand. I want to cut to the bottom line on these things here.
I knew he was in favor of this.
Yes, but I wanted to hear him say for the record.
That a lot being particularly suitable, I know that doesn't have to be better than every other lot that we're used, but it has to be better than, I'd say, most of them, or a lot of them.
And so why is this one better, other than the fact, I thought
it was next door. It's next door to the it's,
okay.
It's an accessory use of a lot that's next door, which I'm aware is a principal use on a non.
But if that is your reason, then people could come in with that same reason. If you said, it's particularly suited because the improvements have been there for 40 years and there hasn't been a problem, and you'd rather them stay than be removed, that is, I think, a better reasoned opinion to be in favor of.
No, I'm saying it is both of those things. If it was not a neighboring lot, it would be a ridiculous thing to say.
But how could the situation occur if it wasn't a neighboring lot?
Someone just plops something down on another property. That's what I'm saying. You use a.
All right, let's move on. You're a pro on this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I?
Go ahead, please.
What you said, I agree. So, I think doesn't make sense that with all this deep conversation we've had to relocate something that's been there for 40 years is not a problem for 40 years. That it, like, why disrupt it and move it? It's not bothering anything. It's, you know, it doesn't affect the use.
And basically you're saying that will save trees.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It'll save trees, it'll save slopes, it'll save, you know, like.
I just want to understand, when I'm asking these questions, I'm not taking a position one way or the other. I'm just trying to tease out the reasons, because I don't know what's going to happen. I got to know what I have to do.
So, Sharon, you'd be in favor?
Yes.
Okay. And Laurie, you wanted me to come back?
Yeah, no, I'm just curious. The pool was there, and now it's not here. So
that's interesting.
Yes, so if he decides he wants to put the pool back at some point, that creates a much bigger potential problem than if they just left it the way it is. I read the easement. It says he can make improvements and he can clean it up, and it's a little unclear whether he can take a pool out and put a pool back.
Very interesting.
So I'm just wondering, and if he wants to put the pool back, he has to go get a permit for that.
Make the listen, even though this is trouble, you said there was a pool there and there's no longer a pool. Is that correct, Mr. Volterra?
Yes.
When was the pool removed?
I don't know.
Before you owned it?
No, after.
You said that you purchased it on November 15th of 2013.
I don't know.
20 years ago.
20 years ago?
A long time. Like,
what? Are you telling me when you bought it in 2015, you saw a pool?
I'm sorry. I don't recall. Maybe Dave told me there was a pool there at one time.
My understanding is it's been gone for a lot longer than that. But
is it gone or filled?
That's
I don't know. But to the question, if somebody wanted to put up a new structure there, regardless of the easement and what's okay between the owners, yes, you could do it as it relates to the applicant, but he can't get a zoning permit.
Didn't stop him before.
But what stops anybody, right? I mean, you know, if somebody wants to do something they're not permitted, you know, I could go put a structure on my neighbor's lot, and it's, you know, it doesn't mean I've got a permit for it. So I'm not saying he couldn't reconstruct something, but he couldn't do it with a permit from the
yeah, neighbor. Right, but if he goes and builds it, it becomes our applicant's problem and not his problem, it seems like, because it's on his property, so now it's his zoning violation.
So, Suzanne, where are you, sir?
So I'm just thinking that because there's no pool there, and probably will never be a pool there, then we're just looking at a retaining wall. To me, that's almost de minimis. So I would say I would.
You'd be in favor.
I would.
Okay.
I would think that the way it's proposed right now, Okay. I think it was about to go. One of the conditions, not all the conditions on the 70 ESO report, is that this agreement can be terminated by at any time. I'm paragraph 7 of this. So I'm saying that intent was there. That should remain. Improvements go, or the subdivision line is created. Whoever has the hardship has got the place.
I missed that. Can I have that easement?
Beg your pardon? No.
This easement may be terminated by the written agreement signed by all owners of record, and others by the two of them.
They both have to agree.
They both have to agree. Yes. Well,
ain't gonna happen.
He's not gonna agree. They both will agree to sign to terminate the easement. Okay.
I thought that there was a unilateral.
Yeah, so you're enough.
No?
No. Okay. Heidi?
I think it would be cleaner, of course, if they could come to an agreement rather than having to be various. But if they can't come to an agreement, or John's idea of doing the line.
The lot line adjustment.
That would be
nice. But if they said no, we're not going to agree, we're not doing a lot line adjustment. What Tom wants to know is, where are you on the D1 variance?
I understand that, Sean. I'm leaning toward it granting it.
Okay.
And I think the reasons you gave, I agree with, and I think those are the same reasons that you suggested.
Mm-hmm. You're leaning in the yes direction.
Correct.
Okay.
I have a lot of cause for concern, but in listening to everything, I would be leaning favorably, leaning slightly favorably.
Okay. And I'm with Tom Yeager on this. I'm leaning in the no direction. Sure, the improvements have been there for many years, but to me that's insufficient test because there's no house there. It's not like you can say, well, this is the way it's been for 40 years. No, there's a big house that's not there. You're coming back and you're comparing something different to it. So
I'm sorry, Dan's vote was what?
Slightly yes.
Five in favor of two.
Okay. Slightly yes.
Yes.
Slightly.
Okay.
He wants to hear everything else.
Okay. All right.
Right, and I'm leaning no. To me, clearly the answer is move the line. There, this is creating a situation that is just crazy in my estimation. I know there's some cost involved, but to try to go through the intellectual gymnastics to justify this by going to UCJ, to me, it's just crazy. I think it's they got to move the lot line. That's the way it's got to be. So that's mine. But that said, it looks like there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's the first litmus test, at least on the, yes. The straw poll.
Yes. Leaning yes.
So you might as well move to the C1 variance.
Sure. And let me just take a check here. It's 9:30. I think we can go till 10:30, right? People good to 10:30. I don't know if you'll finish by that point or not, but just kind of give you a sense of what the runway is in front of you, okay?
Sure. Thank you.
Good.
And I don't know if we concluded our discussion there, John, about the related variances. Things like maximum lot width of the street, maximum depth of measure, minimum lot width of the building. My only understanding of those variances is they all relate to the definition saying must be measured from the public.
There is no maximum depth of measure in that.
Even if it says that it must be measured from the street, how could I have it? Like that's
okay, fine. Then if you want, you
go. I'm sorry.
Okay.
There's no such variance. Maximum depth of measurement is not measuring the front yard setback.
So technically, you're saying if there's no street whatsoever, you automatically need it because there's no depth at all.
No, that's not the reason you need it. You assume that there is a street there, and if you go back 240 feet, you've got your 30,000 feet.
I'm saying that, I guess, so the point is the assumption is that this is there for a street.
No, that's not the assumption. That's where you measure from, you say.
Yes.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Right. Just accept it and move on. You've got to pass on that one.
All right. So, essentially, as you heard, yes, we do not count on a public street. We have the county road, which is located one lot away from our property. We do have a pretty well-defined roadway of about 10 feet in width, which is paved, and it accesses the four other homes on the development. It's relatively straight. It's
you know, at a reasonable grade. I see nothing about it that prevents emergency access from accessing the property. And again, for that reason, we think that the variance is supported. We've heard nothing to the contrary from the fire or police, you know, with regard to the application. But it would provide a safe access now for those other lots, and this would just be the last lot which was already contemplated upon its creation. And again, if taking up the depth of measurement, the other two C variances for lot width and lot width and building.
You're saying those, for those two, the no lot width at the street, no lot width at the building, are the same reasons for the Section 35 variance?
Yes, exactly. And your planner actually notes that what were that opposed to both of those would be compliant. So there's no real practical deficiency with regard to those two, and no detriment to the granting of it. It's just simply a definition issue of this not being considered a public road.
So you're left with the C variance for having these improvements in the side, violating the side yard setback.
Right, and by virtue of if we have the D variance, if we're no longer...
It's not subsumed.
No, if we're not considered an existing vacant lot, therefore, does this principal structure not have to meet those larger requirements, which is my earlier question. I believe it would.
It has to meet the larger requirements.
So not only are we seeking relief for the accessory structure, which, again, the variances there are basically, again, it's a condition where the improvements exist. They have for an extended period of time, and there's no detriment to allowing them to remain. It's the same reasoning for the D. If they were to be relocated, there would only be additional steep slope and tree loss disturbance on the site. With regard,
so, hold up. Right, it's the same reasons for the D1. So now you're left with the C variances to allow the dwelling because Section 91A does not apply. So now you have to go to the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And you need relief from the schedule for lot size, for the setbacks and everything like that. So this is where the negative criterion is going to be, because you're still arguing hardship.
Right.
So the positive criterion is not your issue. Now you're going to get into how close to the steep slopes, all the issues that they're raising. That's where these issues, in my opinion, mm-hmm. these are all now relevant to the size of that home.
Mm-hmm. So again, this was designed as just a representative structure. It's not a final footprint. We were trying to provide something that was large enough that, you know, it would cover all the bases, you know, if approvals were granted, that he knows he would have a buildable lot. We do meet the requirements. Right now we're showing side yards of 50 feet and 88.7 feet.
Okay, what does the schedule say? The side yard,
as we said, was 100-foot side yard.
Side yard is 100 feet. Rear yard is 250 feet. Front yard is 180 feet.
So front yard we meet because we're proposed at 308.
Correct.
180, and rear yard, I think you said 250.
Correct.
And we are at 446. So even in a different scenario, the front rear would meet. That's really not a debate.
So what's the side yards?
The side yards is the issue. And the practical issue is that we have a 227-foot lot. If we were to apply those side yards, we'd be left with a 4-acre lot.
Listen. The positive is not the issue. You've got the hardship. You're going to have to...
I don't see any negative impact.
Well, but then you have a neighbors on... You have at least this neighbor on this side is talking about a negative impact because you're so close to that steep slope area. He's going to get up in his when he gets to testify, and he's going to ask that be pulled back from his side property line. And the board might very well ask that you actually get an actual house design so they can also see what it looks like, because under the Dallmeyer case, if you have an undersized lot and it doesn't conform with the setbacks, the board is entitled to see architectural renderings of what impact it will have on the neighbors. That's where this, when I saw this guy's questions, that's where he's going, mm-hmm. and he's actually legally correct in that direction of where he's going. The board's going to have to decide mm-hmm. if you want to do it off of a concept with no elevations or if you want to see elevations.
Agreed. I don't want to see elevations. I think that the questions raised were legitimate and consequential.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like, at least from a straw coalition hearing what they say, right now the only thing that they have serious remaining concerns about is the side yard setbacks of the house, and they're going to want elevations to see what it's going to look like for the two neighbors.
And obviously, we can't provide that tonight. All I could say is, with, you know, with regard to those setbacks, again, if we weren't asking for the D variance relief, these would be setbacks that meet. So,
understood.
From a negative impact, you know, any concerns with slopes or things like that would be addressed when you get your soil conservation permit. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to provide soil erosion measures. You know, may require things such as walls if the board prefers us to reduce the steep, you know, slopes that we're creating, which, you know, while 3-to-1 in areas are better than the existing slopes, but 3-to-1 slopes are permitted, you know, in common in development. You could lessen them with walls if, you know, if you so chose. I don't think there's any negative impacts that aren't essentially mitigated by creating a grading plan that's reviewed and approved by the township.
That's the problem. It's reviewed by someone else, not them. So you're asking them to delegate, basically.
Well, is the town engineer not the appropriate person to review whether something is safe and stable and protective?
They might want to hear. They might want to have the township, the board engineer, do a report, and they might want to hear from the board engineer so they can make the decision and not delegate that decision to the board.
I think we're concurring anyway that you're looking for architectural. So, I mean, if that's something that
we can
provide that.
Yeah, you should also do a grading plan. You should, if you don't, I saw it's called.
I understand. Yep, I understand. Well, if that's the case, then that's probably about as far as we can take this.
Yeah, and for both the board's benefit and the applicant's benefit, you now might want to ask.
Anyone in the public has got questions, right? First, let me ask, if we're going to come back a month or a couple months from now, what other questions will you want them to be prepared to answer if they come back? And then we'll give you a set in a minute. Okay. If questions come on up, please, and tell us what questions you'd like them to answer when they come back with plans.
Now I'm going to swear
suggestion.
Okay. Raise your right hand. You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give to the truth, the whole truth, and the truth.
Yes.
And even though we already know who you are, now, let me, again, for the record, now you've been sworn, your name is Roy
Nuzzo.
And your address again?
1150 Stanton.
Okay. So, at this point, you've heard the board on some straw polls where they are on the D1 variance. Most of the C variances, and you saw that they stopped because now that the D1 variance is in play and the applicant has not agreed to try to remove the improvements that belong to the neighbor on their property, and they haven't agreed to do a lot line adjustment, the board has said that the schedule of zoning requirements applies to the property, which means they need side yard setback variances. In the RC zone, one family dwellings on a conventional lot, the side yard setback requirement is 100 feet. So, what questions are you going to want them to address? Because they're going to go back, they're going to bring in architectural elevations, and they're going to bring in a grading plan. So, rather than...
Well, this just puts a finger on the spot I'm talking about.
Okay, so tell them. Here. Tell them what you're asking.
This is a copy of the reservoir, and where we are relative to it, and the picture of the dam. Okay? This is a well-studied area.
Would you tell them what questions you want them to ask when they come back next time?
Are you aware of the Sierra Club's involvement in this very area and the impact it's going to have if you remove those trees?
So what you want them to address is whether the removal of trees will have an impact.
Oh, no, we know that. That's been established.
No.
There were 6 trees to be removed, fixed, right in that line. That line is there. Is the work area that was to get to the dam.
Do you understand something? They're not deciding the application.
No. I'm just trying to tell where it is. You're talking about maybe somewhere between 30 feet to 100 yards at most. The plan of the government and the water commission was to remove 6 trees.
This is not the time to try to convince us of the merits. All we're saying is, if you want them to come with evidence next time, tell them what topics you're going to ask them about.
The removal of 6 trees was considered to be damaging. They had to set up a mechanism by which to remove those 6 trees.
What do you want them to do about it?
Explain how removing 30 trees from the exact same area is going to be less impactful than the 6 trees.
He wants you to come back
to the dam
with something to show what impact removing 30 trees would have. Now, you might say we're not going to be removing 30 trees. That's why you got to come back with a grading plan. But be prepared to be asked, however many trees you're going to remove, he's going to ask you what impact it's going to have. And then when he testifies, he's going to testify that it's going to have a harmful impact.
Right. And under federal,
Mr. Nezzo, we're not asking that. What is the next topic you want to address?
This is what I'm asking. Are you aware of the fact that the state considers animals don't need maps, and therefore environmental damage? Are you aware that we're in the area they considered environmentally sensitive?
Okay. What's the next question you have? They're writing these down. They're going to answer them next time.
Well, have they notified those people?
Okay, what other questions do you have for them?
Keep
going.
You better be writing these things down.
I can answer them now. That's
No. Just write next time. If you start answering now, we're going to be here another hour. We're not going to do that.
Okay,
you want to do it now?
No.
That's
fine.
That's
Or if you want, write your questions down and give them give your slips to the applicants.
Okay.
And they'll be prepared to address them next time.
Are you aware there's 125 species?
No, don't ask them now.
We're not going to debate the material right now. Give me your questions. We'll debate them next time. These are good questions. Now's not the time.
Mr. Chairman, that's not the time.
Right, so give them the information that they need.
We'll debate the merits of this next time. Go ahead, give me your questions.
You can put all those questions in an email, send them to the board secretary. She'll send them.
Can you restrict the emails you send?
Yeah.
I mean, I only had one day to prepare this because that's the first thing I
have. Well, now you're going to have at least a month. Yeah. Put your email address.
All right. These are good questions. It's just not the right time.
Well, the Sierra Club took a room bigger than this, and it was, sir.
Not the time.
Hours.
Not the time, sir.
Yeah. No.
Okay. All right. So we're gonna. You guys are done. We're gonna continue.
I think so. Yes.
Mr. Thatcher.
Yeah. What is the next date?
We have to put.
Denise has to look at the calendar.
Provides a footprint. Work. There's no way we can get here next month. Impossible.
Okay. Denise, we can't get here next month because of the work we're going to have to do. It'll have to be the following month.
Okay, so the August meeting is August 22nd.
That's fine with me.
We're open?
For August, yes, as of now we are.
Okay.
Okay, so we're still going to go with you, but I'm going to swear in a minute. But so the hearing on this application is going to be continued without need for further notice. You're not going to get another notice until August 22nd. But if you send those questions to Denise, we'll send them to the applicant so they'll know them ahead of time, and if they don't answer them, they're at their peril.
Now, do you have questions regarding...
Yeah, let me get this morning. You swear, if you're going to have any testimony, they will be the truth, the whole truth, and the truth to help you guys.
Yes, I do.
Okay, and again, your name for the record?
David Chippendale.
Dan. He has questions about what Mr. Ingram just testified to.
That's correct. Yeah, you guys mentioned something about the easement. Are you aware who owns that easement, the right-of-way up to the four properties that are there currently?
The owner of it?
Yes.
I mean, it's for the, I don't know who owns it. It's for the benefit of the lots that are off.
Wait, because you're sworn. Who in here? Who owns it?
State of New Jersey.
Okay.
I've got a partial, I can't testify, so I won't go there.
Well, no, if you want to be aware of something, go there. That's why I swore you in.
Okay, all right, thank you.
We're trying to give them a heads up.
Right, yeah. Some things I would like to ascertain here is right. Basically there's, I have, unfortunately, I have like two pages of the easement.
It looks like you have a deed book and a page.
Yes.
So write this down.
We have it on the plan.
We have the deed. You have a deed book 875, page 72?
Are you familiar?
Hold on.
89. It's written right on the survey. 875, 89. Yes.
Okay. So has that document been put into the board file?
Probably not.
Right. So let's get that document. Please submit that so Denise can put it in the
board file.
Sure.
In box account.
Box account. Thank you.
Page 4 that easement stipulates that basically anything that there's no construction whatsoever shall be commenced upon this easement without prior approvals. Have you made applications, or is that in route or in plan stage to get permission from the state?
Put it this way, check and have an answer on August 22nd. What's next?
Yeah, I have basically a copy of the easement itself and a picture. Are you, I'm sure you're aware of where the mailboxes are down at the end of that drive.
At the end of it? I don't.
Down by the county route 629.
Yes.
Stanton Lebanon Road. You've got a 10-foot wide drive going down. There was everyone's mailbox here currently. There's four mailboxes there. And I've got a picture here. I don't know. Can you see any kind of a hazard that can happen if there's like two cars getting their mail at the same time? And like this picture demonstrates, you've got someone coming down this way and a truck coming up this way. They want to make a left in here. They're kind of quick to get in before this truck gets there. And there's also the back that they're not aware of. You've got to push the traffic out and wait for somebody to get clipped there. Do you think that could happen? Is that a possibility?
It's a possibility now. It's the same possibility later.
Yeah, but we're adding more cars to the drive. That's why I'm just. I want to share with you that the...
To be fair, on a lot you sold the man.
I'm so, sorry?
To be fair, on a lot you sold
to be fair, I'm sorry, I did it. I was talking about an 1,800 square foot property, and he's building a 5,000 square foot home and taking 100 some trees down. I'm very sorry. That wasn't our agreement.
Okay, but just so you know, that's one of the issues. That's why the board wants to see. Just, when you see, it's not simply architectural elevations. They also want the floor plan.
Okay.
Okay, architectural elevations, floor plan. They're going to submit that, and then you'll have the opportunity to review it, ask questions, and if you have opposition to that, you'll be able to oppose that. The board is saying that this conceptual layout is not enough. So what else do you got?
I don't know if there's any studies done on the values for the HUC 14, some watershed. I mean, it's pretty high, and I think it could have a lot of impact. I don't know if there's any studies that you have done.
So what's the significance of the HUC 14?
It's just the fact that 100 some trees are coming down is going to heavily impact that whole area.
Do you know how many trees are coming down or not right now?
We have a calculation, but it's going to change, so I'm not going to bother to testify to it because
it's
going to.
On the application, it stipulates 100.
I understand, but they're going to come back with a grading plan and with.
That reflects a more accurate
plan. Architecturals would be a lot more accurate, so they're going to answer that question when they come back. So just be prepared. He's going to want to know not just how many trees, 6 inches. Or greater are coming down, which is subject to tree replacement ordinance, he's going to want to know how many trees also in total are coming down. He's going to ask. I'm just telling you. And if you want to say we don't have to tell you, then you can say that, and then you'll see what they say.
Right, exactly right, John.
I was also wondering if you have any, with the groundwater recharge areas, if there's any studies done. Apparently, this is in a prime sensitive area. And what I thought was going to happen, what's happening, is two different things on this lot.
So again, as I understand your question, if they take down more than X number of trees, that will have an impact of water, groundwater.
Yes. Yeah, the burying area is high. Okay. Yep. And the steep slope, it's a severe constrained area.
Okay, so hold up. We don't want to get into that.
And I'd like
that. Yeah, I understand this one. He also. The grading plan will show this, but he's going to want to know exactly, you know, what type of steep slopes are going to be disturbed. And this guy who lives next door on the side that he's testified the steep slopes and the big, you know, rocks that are holding, trees that are holding stuff back, he's also going to be asking about that.
Understood.
I think that's it.
Nothing tonight,
I guess.
Yes, board members, how many folks can make it August 22nd? Yes.
Right now, yes.
Yes. Tom, you're good for the August 22nd? Okay. Because the D variance, the number of people that are voting in favor of it, will be important if everyone is
here.
Correct.
John?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Maybe.
Can we put it? Is it not, well? You can't vote on the D variance.
No,
and separate this because it's creating a real problem with like what variance actually requires. I mean, is it possible to vote on a D variance tonight?
He wants to know if you guys would agree to vote on the D variance the D1 variance tonight without...
No, my main concern is if that variance doesn't go through, we're defending things that we wouldn't otherwise defend. Like, we wouldn't be talking about any of this if the D variance doesn't go through. And
let me ask, are board members willing to vote on the D variance by itself without having seen the rest? Seeing no?
I think I would.
Do a straw poll, find out.
Yeah, you would? You
I would.
Prefer not to?
I would.
No? No? I don't see enough votes to pass it. It's a good question, but I don't see it happening.
I mean, if you wanted to vote, you would... You'll vote no.
No, no. Okay. You understand the predicament, though.
Yeah. Right.
If we're defending variances, that if
you
don't
have to go on for bifurcated...
You have some big straw poll with your request.
That's fine. Yeah, no.
Right. Bifurcated maybe would have been... But let's ship the sale now. Okay, so it looks like everyone's good for August 22nd. Okay, what else?
Can I ask one question? Hypothetically, what would happen if my client agreed to a lot line adjustment? Where would we go from? What would we need to do for this board at that point?
It's a subdivision application that doesn't have a D variance of going to the planning board.
No, I understand that, but I mean, so in other words, we're done here.
Yeah, you'd be done here. You go to the planning board for a subdivision application, no D variance, and the planning board also has the right under the NLUL. If you have subdivision, they can also grant you your Section 35 relief.
Gotcha.
If you do the subdivision thing like that, then you qualify for 91A.
So if you lose your grandfather's status, then
you change the lot.
Grandfather status for what?
For a 9-acre lot that's required now.
Presumably the planning board, I can't speak for them, I do represent them, but I can't speak for them. Presumably, if it makes better planning sense to go with a subdivision than this, the planning board's going to grant all those variances.
It saved a lot of time and aggravation. That happened.
Are you sure?
Of course.
So maybe you should, and you should talk to him after tonight.
Okay. I just wanted to know. Thank you.
All right. We're done.
Again, I announced unless they file a subdivision application for a lot line adjustment that will go to the planning board, this hearing is going to be continued on August 22nd with no need for further notice.
Gotcha.
So you've been doing a lot of homework. So what you have to do is do this. So if you can get a subdivision, what you need is 95% of that stuff you would need. You'd like to talk to me for a long time.
Okay. Does anyone else have anything for the good of the board? You have anything else? No. You take this home. Motion to adjourn.
Hello. Second.
All in favor.
This is called working for your money.
No, this is what keeps it in.